we are now going to go to this City of Franklin's Common Council. Madam Clerk, please take the roll.
Mayor Taylor.
Here.
Alderman Olson.
Here.
Alderman Solomon.
Here.
Alderman Wilhelm.
Here.
Alderman Taylor.
Here.
Alderman Schmidt.
Present.
Alderman Stern.
Aye.
Please rise to move in.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
First item on the agenda is citizens' comment period. Are there any people wishing to speak during the citizens' comment period? And I'm going to, so Roberta, could you keep track of the time? We're going to keep 3 minutes per person. And then if people, after everyone has spoke, wants to speak again for 3 minutes, the council can let them do so. Yes, sir.
Jim Lysak, 8756 West Mallard Court. First of all, I'd like to thank Alderman Olson for his response to my questions. I'd also like to comment on the paper, the journal, dated August 30th, 2012, where it said that Mayor Taylor and other council members say that the city needs the jobs that Meyer, the new Meyer store, would create, 200 to 250. What impact would this have on the jobs at Target and Pick and Save, of which these stores are now not shopped very much, and they're going to lose more business to Myers, and they could be closing, which means two more empty buildings, not including the Sentry that's been sitting empty, which was a food store also, and Myers is bragging that they're going to be 60% food. I don't know how many food stores we need here. The smaller stores, they wouldn't gain jobs. We'd be losing jobs if we had Meyer because of the loss of these stores that are now open. I'd also like to comment on the traffic on Putes Road. Right now it has a 3-ton weight limit. Is that going to stay in effect? And the same with Forest Hill. The Department of Transportation won't allow an exit from Myers onto Highway 100 because they say that it's too much traffic on that intersection already. So with the 3-ton limit on Putes Road, that means no trucks could go down up in or out Putes Road. Leaves all the trucks going in and out on Loomis Road. During the construction of Myers, if there is going to be any, where would all of these trucks go with the construction going on Highway 100 between Drexel and Loomis Road? I'm trying to get this done fast. They also had a comment on the hours that the trucks would be coming in and out, and the garbage trucks and other things that, you know, could be there at 1, 2, or 3 o'clock in the morning, waking people up with their beepers. And we were told that they were going to only have 6 delivery trucks here at the Franklin store per day, and they told the people up in Grafton they were going to have 30 delivery trucks. I don't know where Myers coming up with these things, but I'd like to also get in real quick. The city has a comprehensive master plan, and they're going to try and alter this too much because of things like the size of the building, which originally the size of this building does not go into the city comprehensive master plan. The hours of operation of 24/7 is not in there. And the Department of Transportation and the DNR have not signed off yet on these stores. So the Planning Commission is charged with reviewing petitions for rezoning and caring in the ordinance with the standards of criteria quoted in the city's Unified Development Ordinance. As described by planning staff to their members' report, the developers proposed inconsistent with the city's master plan in several significant areas, and I just mentioned those. While a master plan takes into account several objectives and goals, I'm almost done. Major changes to that plan cannot be solely based on the perceived needs for economic development. And I'm sure you people all know this. So if you're just going to do it to get tax dollars into the city, it's not a good idea. And you are subjecting the city to a lot of lawsuits with proceeding with this because you have just been notified that all of these are in violation of the state codes. And the state codes are, I could read them to you, but I was just told I don't have enough time. But if you want me to...
If you want to, Mr. Lysak, after everybody else speaks, if you want to come back.
Sure.
And actually, I would hope that you do, because I have a couple, I can address a couple of things that you brought up. Anyone else wishing to speak during the citizens' comment period? How many people are here on the Myers issue? Okay.
Hello, people. John Hudson from 9402, West Prairie Grass Way. First thing that gets me, our streets in our subdivision are covered with these. They're flying all over the place.
This one?
People didn't take them out of mailboxes. They let the wind take them there on the ground. Yeah, I know Chick did, you don't care, but it's our subdivision.
Mr. Hudson?
I didn't put them there.
Please,
well, somebody did.
Gentlemen, please address the chair.
I have a stack of letters here from people who would like to see the store come in. I can give them the mayor.
City clerk, I don't know.
Personally, I like to see the store come in. I hate Walmart. I never shopped at Century. I know that the Meijer store carries high quality items in their store, better than Walmart. It's just improvement for that property. Look what happened Saturday. Some kids burned down the house on that property. I mean, let's get a nice store in there. What do you do? Put another cabin in there and have some more motorcycle gangs in there? I don't want to see that in Franklin. I live on Highway Honor. I deal with the truck traffic right now. It's not going to add that much more. Yeah, I'm a truck driver, but you know what? We do respect people coming in subdivisions. And the Myers told us that they're going to cut it down at night. And they can tell the garbage people, hey, no night deliveries.
Mr. Hudson, please.
I'm sorry. No night deliveries. Myers, as far as I'm concerned, and some people in our subdivision, Myers is doing a good job. It's going to be a nice store, and it's going to help the tax base. Thank you for
that. Thank you. Anyone else wishing to speak during the citizen comment period?
Hello. Brett Belden, 8545 South Lake Point Court. I'll try and keep my comments brief. They'll be similar to what I said last week, but I want to repeat them for the sake of Alderman Olson, who's with us tonight. First, I want to thank the council for delaying action during the last meeting so that Alderman Olson could be here as one of the residents in the area affected. I appreciate that our representative can be here for the vote. There's two issues that I want to address. The first one, two things that I think any decision on this should be made contingent on. The first one is I really strongly believe that a 24/7 operation in this space is a bad idea. I know that Myers in other locations has stores that close at 11 p.m. I know that Myers said that's not feasible here. I haven't heard any particular evidence as to why that wouldn't be feasible here and is feasible in other locations. It's a much more residential area than other locations that they're considering, such as the site in Grafton, and I think that should be limited to at least 11 p.m. or midnight. The other issue that I'm hoping you'll address is one of the primary entrances being off of Putes Road. I know that the Department of Transportation, at last I heard, was not allowing the right-in, right-out off of Highway 100. I understand that those are still ongoing negotiations, but I hope that this council will make any decision that they make contingent upon that right-in, right-out being approved on Highway 100. The second that you make an approval that's not contingent on that, the Department of Transportation has no reason to grant you that, even though we all know that that's what's right for our community. The best leverage that you have to make sure that that right-in, right-out occurs is saying to the DOT, if you don't approve this right in, right out, you are hindering economic development in our community. So I hope that that's the decision that you'll make to put pressure on the DOT to actually approve the transportation plan that's right for our community.
Those words have already been expressed to them.
Excellent. Hopefully you'll make that formal in your decision tonight. Thank you.
Anyone else wishing to speak during the citizens' comment period? Yes, ma'am.
We're on the intersection of Highway 100 and Pukes. Many, many times we've heard that brought up. With that being said, we're still totally in favor of the Meyer project, simply because I cannot have another tavern. We've lived through Music Land, we've lived through Illusions, we've lived through Coyote, whatever it was. I can't do that again. So with that being said, I am completely for the Meyer project.
Thank you, ma'am. Anyone else wishing to speak during the citizens' comment period? Yes, sir.
Colonel Whitkey, 9957 West Margaret Lane. This last week I spent in the Detroit area, and it was my pleasure to go to a Meyer store. I came home with over $650 worth of stuff I can't find locally. They can supply it. That's on a personal note. Overall, up until about 3 years ago, the grocery market was very competitive in this area. All of a sudden, stores started going out of business, and I believe, at least my personal view, that Pick and Save has become non-competitive. I started shopping in other places, and you're seeing stores like Piggly Wiggly and stuff like that come into the area. So we may lose the store, but let's gain something we don't have now, and let's put Franklin on the market.
Thank you, sir. Anyone else wishing to speak during the citizens' comment period? Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Anyone else wishing to speak during the citizens' comment period?
Good evening. My name is Laverne Lentz, and I just recently moved to this community. I live in the apartments at 9170 West Highland Park. My apartment is going to face that. I just moved to a quiet community. I'm moving in cities. I like it nice and quiet. I just don't like traffic. I don't want the extra commotion. That's just the way it stands.
Okay, thank you. Anyone else wishing to speak during the citizens' comment period?
Sarah Nowacki, 7909 Briarwood Drive. I just want to say I am in favor of this. I think the city needs competition. We need some places that we can spend our money here. We've got Target, which is a great store. Pick and Save. That's it for groceries. I mean, Target has a little spot there. Sendix is a different type of grocery store. I like it a lot. We need something, though. If I want something that Pick and Save doesn't carry, which is often, I have to go to Woodman's, go to the Walmart in Muskego. I want something that I can run to get here, you know, get it quickly. Everything I have heard about Meyer's is that they are a good company. They're going to be, you know, they're great neighbors. They support the community. I don't know what else we want. I'm confused. I mean, I would like that. Somebody that's going to, you know, help Franklin in a lot of different ways. See, there's a win-win situation.
Thank you, ma'am. Anyone else wishing to speak during the citizens' comment period?
Good evening. Richard Johnson, 8545 West Blackbird Court. Before the Planning Commission said I support this particular project, I'm sort of happy it finally got out of the Planning Commission because I quite honestly thought they were overwhelmed with what was going on. I really think it's too early to approve this. I want this thing to go through, but I think it's really too early to approve it. But Putes Road entrance is going to be a really big deal for residents in that area. I spent some time in it talking to some of the residents in that area this past weekend, and they're not going to be happy with the traffic that's going to be on through. You're going to have to take into consideration what's going on with Putes. I want this thing to go in, but Putes has got to be settled up. I think the solutions that I've seen so far for Putes have been pretty sad. I just assume have no entrance off of Putes is what they've been doing so far. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Anyone else wishing to speak during the citizens' comment period? Is there anyone else wishing to speak during the citizens' comment period? Yes, sir.
My name is Carl Schlater. I live at 9200 West Windham Hills Court. I have been to various meetings here over, I don't know how many months. I heard there was a development plan in 04 that the city spent money on, and nothing has happened in the 8 years since then. I think it's time we move on and okay this. Tax money for the Franklin School District will be 100% going to the Franklin School District. Plus, it'll help possibly keep our taxes from going up. Another business that doesn't have any children going to school, and so on. They're not asking the city, from what I understand, or the state, for funds, for loans, or anything. They're willing to do it themselves. And I just cannot understand. These are two state highways. They've always been two state highways, as long as anybody in this room has been here. What a better of a place to put a shopping area is on two state highways for truck traffic, deliveries, or people coming and going. Doesn't the property owner have a right to sell this property? How long do they have to put up with meetings, attorney fees, and so on? I think it's time we move forward. Somebody has to step forward and say, we're for it. Maybe then the DNR will say, well, we're okay, and so on. It will create 200 jobs. I used to be in business, and things change, unfortunately. I don't think we're ever going to go back to a little A&B grocery store. There are Quick Marts and things like that. It's a family-owned business for about 80 years. They're paying for the building and everything. I don't think they're looking to invest that type of money, thinking that they're not going to be a success in the area. And their success will attract more business to that corner, that part of the street. Being open 24 hours a day, I can see limitations being put on the delivery and pickups and so on there with the trucks. And then the last thing is I've talked to friends from Michigan, from Illinois, saying how nice Myers is. And one more little thing. This flyer that came around, I just think it's a joke. Your daily quality of life could be in jeopardy due to Myers. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Hello, Tiffany Drahanovsky, 9545 West Putes. I'd like to just point out to folks who don't live immediately in the vicinity, this property is so run down. We have complained about the existing crime. This weekend we had a fire there. We're lucky that it happened during the day. It's, I understand, being looked at as suspiciously, which it ought to have been, because there are people on that property who didn't belong there. We see this going on all the time. The immediate neighbors, if I may speak for some of them, we are constantly plagued by the disrespect of some of the folks who are renting there. The property owner is a slumlord. They blocked the driveway so that the fire trucks that arrived, at least three alarm, I counted them all. Kind of fun to see the trucks, but we were kind of concerned. It's been a dry summer. The reality of when this happened, so many people are vacationing. We're lucky it happened during the day. That could have easily jumped the, 10, 15-foot road over to our homes. It could have been a massive disaster. And fire trucks couldn't even get to the property quickly. They had to go around to the old landscape farm. Please realize this is an opportunity to make the neighborhood safer. Someone who's paying taxes, who wants to keep the environment nice for their patrons, is certainly going to have better security than we have on this property now. And I'd like that kind of safety, because I think they'd be responsive if I went there and said there was a problem. They are a lot more responsive than the persons or people that I've been directed to who currently are responsible for that property.
Thank you very much. Anyone else wishing to speak during the citizens' comment period? Yes, sir. Excuse me.
One more. My name is Harry Colf. I live at 8150 West Putes. I just want to know if there is a plan for Putes Road. Is it going to be improved? Is it going to be expanded? This is going to add an awful lot of traffic to Pewds.
My recollection is that the people along Pewds some years back were surveyed as to whether they wanted the city wanted to widen it. It's my recollection. And the survey came back, and the people along there said no, they did not want that. So, but we've had a lot of discussions about making it more pedestrian friendly, things like that. Obviously, there's a number of wetland issues. So, but the aldermen and many of the other aldermen have brought up the issue of Pewds, and rightfully so. I mean, people are going to be impacted should this development pass.
And another question.
Of course, they always have the money issue as well as...
Correct. People that live on Pewds. 76 and Ryan. What's with that empty space there? Why not try to locate over there?
You can ask the Meyer people later on, but I did ask Meyer to look at a number of sites in the city. One was Century, that maybe this should go in place of Century and Walgreens. And out by maybe out by the Irish Cottage and a few other places. I don't want to speak for Myers, but I think they have about 200 stores or something, and they have people that do nothing but look at demographics and where stores should be located. Bottom line is they said it's either that site or they're out of Franklin. Yes. Anyone else wishing to speak during the citizen comment period?
Randy Torbett, 8600 West Pewds. I come from the inner city originally, and I moved here to the farmhouse to get away from stuff. If the traffic and all that exposure, because we have an old farmhouse and we like it there, if it gets to be bigger and messed up and all, major traffic going through there, I'm going to pick up and move.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Anyone else wishing to speak during the citizens' comment period? Anyone else? Do you mind if I address a couple of things you brought up?
I don't care.
Target, I talked to Target. In fact, they called some months ago. They said that they were okay with the competition, but they would welcome later on that if we or the council adjust the 125,000 square foot ordinance, that they'd be able to do the same and have equal footing. So they were fine with the competition. I believe it was a vice president I was speaking to from Minneapolis. As far as the Century store, I just covered that and said that, you know, it was trying to get Myers to maybe look at Century. The owners of Orchard View Shopping Center, the ones that own Century, they've actually written letters and testified that they are in favor of the Meyer proposal because they think that that proposal will help them to fill Century and Walgreens because it's perceived as a destination location. And so I think it was Jim O'Malley, John O'Malley's son, that either wrote the letter or testified or did both. And then as far as the jobs... there are two things, I think, in that article that you're reading from. One was jobs, and the other was revenue. Those are both correct statements. I did say that. The number one goal in the city is to try and achieve a 30% commercial tax base. That's been discussed over and over again at council meetings. The comprehensive master plan of the city, of which I chaired the committee, the goal of the entire comprehensive master plan was to try and achieve the 70-30 balance with making sure that we look out for green space and that we come up with a quality community. But I hope that... And then there are two other things. You had asked to be contacted by somebody who had the answers. I asked Joel Deedle to call you. I believe he put in two calls.
I've got my answers previous questions, yes.
Okay.
From Mr. Olson.
So I hope I addressed some of them.
You did. A couple of things that people aren't aware of. I was told by someone, and I won't mention names, that Pewds Road will be done by 2020. It will be widened with a sidewalk from 76th Street all the way up to about 89th Street on the south side. So people who live on Pewds Road, take note.
Was it Jack Bennett?
I won't say who.
He's got a look on his face.
The other things are, I am very concerned with the laws that the state of Wisconsin have put in to protect myself and other individuals who are against stores like this, and with the great amount of changes that you have to put forward, ordinance changes, I think that the state of Wisconsin might frown upon this if they're contacted, and you could be putting the city up for a lawsuit, which would cost the taxpayers just a few more dollars. And who said that?
It's from the gallery. None of the aldermen. Yeah, I'm watching them.
So, you know, here's a point where I'm not totally against the Meyer store, but the size of it, which is against your own rules and regulations that you chaired, and the hours of operation, which is again against the rules that you chaired, and the DNR concern and the Department of Transportation concerns, because they haven't signed off on that. And technically, according to state law, you people shouldn't even be voting on accepting this offer without the DNR and Department of Transportation signing off on it. So you take it from there and do whatever you want as a council.
Thank you, sir. Anyone else wishing to speak during the citizen comment period that hasn't spoke? Anyone else? Alderman Olson.
Thank you. Jim, I think you, I don't know if I was the one to talk to you about Pute's Road. It will not get widened. We all agreed to that 2 years ago. It will stay the same as it is now. The ditches.
That isn't what I was told, and it wasn't from you, so.
Well, this is board of directors, and that's what we decided based on your input. The neighbors decided on a path, and we settled on the south side because of the, Jack, correct me if I'm wrong, right? There's a south side because of the right-of-way and lesser number of trees that would be impacted.
And is there something riding on that? On Hewitt's Road, is there something riding on that?
No. As for 20, whatever the date was,
2020.
There's no money in the budget for it, so you know, it's not even kind of.
Well,
I'm just telling you what the facts are, Jim.
Okay. So I'm gonna close the citizens' comment period and turn to the item C, which is approval of regular meeting of August 21st.
Second. As revised.
As revised.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed. Ayes have it. Motion carries. You have before you the special meeting of August 23rd, 2012. Is there a motion to approve?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Under discussion, Alderman Olson.
Although I'd really like to hear the city engineer sing the change order, I think the proper term is sign. Item three.
With no objection, let's please amend the minutes.
No, you do it, Mr. Mayor. But
all right.
Stop singing and just sign. Yeah.
And every time I sing at the stadium, I get in trouble. So. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed, ayes have it. Motion carries. I'm going to suggest that we go directly to item 11, given the number of people that are here and the fact that they have to go through the committee of the whole meeting. Item 11, 12, and 13, and 14 is the Meyer issue. And issues. It is my understanding, and Mr. Beadle, why don't you come up? I, too, I think, received some late correspondence from Attorney Randall, which I'm sure, like Alderman Skransky said, had not had the ability of going through a reading. And I thought that the language that I saw, and I haven't spent a lot of time on it, but I thought it addressed a lot of the wetland issues. Is that correct, Mr. Dean?
Among other things, yes.
Okay. Mr. Deedle, for those of you that don't know him by now, is the planning manager for the city of Franklin. So I was the chair of the comprehensive master plan, and he did all the work. So, as usual, right? So I don't know exactly what that says. Maybe I should turn to the city attorney to see if this is appropriately in front of us. And maybe get your gist on what the packet is. It looked to me like there was some potential grants for mitigation that the if they agree to mitigation or if the city allows mitigation, that they would take X amount of dollars yet to be decided upon, and that the city could use those dollars for other purposes within the city. Alderman Olson.
It's $20,000. It's in lieu of Meyer doing any of the litigation of their own. It puts it into an account for the city every $20,000.
They are proposing that still do the buckthorn removal on the property.
Okay. But this removes any responsibility from Meyer to do any mitigation. It puts the onus on the city to do it to the limit of $20,000.
Okay. Alderman Wilhelm.
Well, as Alderman Skarnski so noted on the other agenda item when we're on the call, he said he didn't like having things dropped in front of him. I have not had a chance to read this, and you know me, I like to read everything I vote on. So unless we're going to adjourn and allow everyone to read this, just having someone's opinion on it doesn't sit as well with me as me making my own opinion by reading it myself. So I'm not real comfortable on that. If all the changes are supposed to be for just the on the mitigation, I see other changes that talk about hours, areas crossed out about hotels, and I don't know. There's probably not that many of them in here, but it would be nice to be able to absorb what. How this links with everything else that I've read in the previous council packets. And I know Alderman Skarnski also agreed with that, that he didn't like things getting dropped on him. So.
I'm reading it right now.
City attorney?
Move to adjourn for 10 minutes.
Well, there's a motion to adjourn for... To adjourn or to take a break?
A 10-minute break.
10-minute break? 10 minutes? Is there a second to the motion?
I'll second.
Okay. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, ayes have it. Motion carries. We're going to take a 10-minute break for the aldermen to absorb this language and give them a read. Come back to order, please. We still have another minute. All right, for those that may have forgot, we're still on item 11. There was a request, actually, there was a motion to have a 10-minute break. We have had that. And now we are back on item G11. I had the opportunity of speaking to the city attorney during the break, and I asked him, because all of us have items in our packet that were delivered Friday afternoon on the Meyer proposal. These are resolutions. And I said to him, so what changes to the documents have been made to what we have in the document versus what Mr. Randall, who represents Myers, presented us tonight? My understanding, correct me if I'm wrong, is like we have a highlighted red section here. And then we go two pages and there's no changes. We go three, four pages, no changes. Five, six, no changes.
Six.
Yeah, I'm just saying six pages. No changes on page 8 or page 9. No changes on page 10. No changes on page 11 from the documents we all have in our packet. On item 12, at the top of it, for the benefit of the people, the neighbors that are in close proximity to the where the Meyer proposal is. On the top, it says on the first line, except in emergencies. So it says outdoor communication system shall be turned off between the hours of 6 p.m. and 7 a.m. except in emergencies. So that's the additional language. Then you go down and it says trucks shall be prohibited from idling while loading and unloading. It's current language. And the words are between the hours of 10 p.m. and 7 a.m. You go down the same page, page 12, go to item 8D, and at the bottom of the language, the words are added. It says property owners shall submit to the Department of City Development or recorded cross-access agreement providing for cross-access with the adjoining property to the north, 9609 West Loomis Road, and the language that was added is upon construction of any cross-access. And you go to page 13, same document that appears in the, everyone's packet, item 2. The only word that has changed is the word from south to north. It says the applicant shall construct a sidewalk along the north side of West Putes Road. And then it goes on, page item 6 on page 13, new language, and this has to do with the changes for the wetlands, wetland buffers, wetland setbacks, et cetera, et cetera. And the new language says, as and for the applicant's wetland, wetland buffers, wetland setbacks, and shore buffer mitigation under the UDO, that's Unified Development Ordinance, the applicant shall provide, same language, for review and approval, which is struck out, prior to issuance of a building permit, a deposit of $20,000 to the city. The deposit shall be used, and it's crossed out, Department of City Development staff, in its sole discretion. So that means the Common Council could use that $20,000 as it so desires for mitigation and enhancements to natural resource features within the City of Franklin limits. And then the former language concerning wetland buffers, wetlands, wetland setbacks, that's been struck. Then on item 8, page 13, the language in paragraph 8 has been struck. And that was the language that you had. You changed the language, I'm looking at Mr. Randall, and then you struck the language that you changed. So in essence, there's been no change to item 13.8, right? And the existing language of 8, which is renumbered, that stays the same. Number 9, the language stays the same. And item 11 is deleted in its entirety, and I'll read that. For section chapter 15.9.0207b.3 of the Unified Development Ordinance relating to changes to shoreland wetlands, this amendment shall not take effect until more than 30 days have elapsed since written notice of the Common Council's approval of this amendment was mailed to the Department of Natural Resources. During that 30-day period, the Department of Natural Resources may notify the Common Council that will adopt a superseding shoreland ordinance for the city pursuant to section chapter 62.231 of the Wisconsin statutes. If the department does so notify the Common Council, the effect of this amendment shall be stayed until the section 62.231 adoption procedure is completed or otherwise terminated. So that entire section has been deleted. And you go to, that's page 14, no additional changes, and page 15, no additional changes. So what I read to you are the only changes included in this document. And so I'm going to ask Mr. Randall to come forward and maybe please explain one, the changes that he is recommending. Again, Mr. Randall is the attorney for Myers. And then some brief explanation, and I guess I would emphasize the word brief.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Attorney Brian Randall of Freebirds, Finnerty, and St. John, 330 East Kilbourne Avenue in Milwaukee, here here on behalf of Meyer Company. And with me this evening is Mike Flickinger of Meyer, the real estate director, and Dave Behrens from Greenberg Farrell, who actually, by many of the named applications, David is the named applicant. I'd be happy to accommodate that request, and we'll go page by page in order, if that's all right. And Mayor, you did a fine job, although on page 6 and page 7, you missed just a few minor items.
Oh, come on.
I call those the housekeeping ones. On page 6, paragraph D1, letter B, under permitted uses, I believe that's a typo. It now should read display of products in pedestrian areas along the front elevation of
the
Meyer.
Did you say page 6?
Page 6. The changes should have a small hash mark on the outside margin.
I see it now.
That should. I tried to make this a red line, but it turned into blue text.
It gets stronger glasses. It's one change, it looks like.
And I took the liberty of adding a period at the end of that sentence. But that, I don't believe, is, frankly, if I had time, and I did not, I ran out of time, I could have called Mr. Deedle and just explained, I think these are
typos. So instead of it saying display of products and pedestrian areas, it says display of products in pedestrian area.
Right. We don't propose to display pedestrian areas. We want to display products in pedestrian areas if we so choose.
Leah, may I ask a question? Yarn?
Yes.
For how long?
In all honesty, we did not ask for that condition. I believe that's a standard one that staff puts in. Meyer Stores does not usually display products in front of their stores.
Good. Then don't.
On page 7, paragraph 3, letter C, district prohibited uses, it referenced accessory structures not incompatible with the district intent to enhance and promote, it previously read, a high-quality hotel and commercial mixed-use area. I think that was just language perhaps used in another ordinance or resolution, and so I struck that to put what our proposal is, and that would be a grocery and department store development. And by way of preface, Mr. Mayor, you indicated these are recommendations that we make on behalf of Meyer. It really, I request them. I am not in a position to recommend to the council what it should do, but these would be changes that we would request. And moving then to some slightly more substantive ones on page 12, you indicated under paragraph, and this is in the master document, G, I believe it's G6.
Yep.
In any way, it's under hours of operation, 6C, 6B, the Meyer Garden Center. It cut off the outdoor speakers at 6 p.m., and they had to be remained off until 7 a.m. We do request the ability to use them in case of emergencies, if there is a fire, if there is a lost child, if there is an emergency. I'm fairly certain that would be what you would expect as a community, but we wanted to make sure we were never in trouble if there was an emergency, we used those speakers. But the point is, the Garden Center will not be blaring store messages, special of the day type of things at the 6 p.m. to 7 a.m. hours, and we're willing to abide by that. Under paragraph C, we do request a slight clarification. I think the discussion all along about truck deliveries and truck idling, and I know Bob Zolli is here from United Financial Group. We worked with them very extensively on an appropriate and reasonable condition, and we are willing to continue abiding by this, where we will have one overnight truck delivery between the hours of 10 p.m. and 7 a.m., and we certainly will abide by that there will be no truck idling during that period of time as well. So that's the add-on qualifier to the second paragraph. Under cross-access, Mayor, I think you emphasized the revisions to paragraph D, but there are some minor word changes in A, B, and C, and that really is to reference a need for flexibility. This, if you think about, this is the parcel to our north on Loomis Road. I believe it's American Foundation Specialists. We do not own that. We will not be purchasing that. And city staff has told us, and we've had this discussion about the need, perhaps, of cross-access in the future. The concern we have about that is, right now they do have frontage on Highway 36, and there's no end in sight to that as the present condition. We just don't know what American Foundation Specialists might redevelop to in the future. We also have a very significant concern about the wetlands in that particular area. I know that letter C references a natural resource special exception would be needed, but we are tight on our own site and trying to save the wetlands as much as we can, and any cross-access means a road right through those wetlands. So we're very sensitive to paragraph A that says cross access shall be provided. We don't want to be perceived as guaranteeing there can be some road through there or a driveway. So we've asked that it be made, we would consider it, and that would be our commitment to consider with that property owner. And then the word the in the other two sentences just changed to any, that any cross access driveway, we would follow those procedures. And then, of course, an agreement, an easement, we would provide upon construction, which may never occur, but why should the city attorney have to review an easement agreement that is not related to anything that's ever constructed? So that's our request for cross-access. On the top of page 13, this is, again, part of conditions of approval. Letter G, number 2, is the sidewalk. Our site plan, which I note is up on the board, it has not changed since our last proposal. It does propose to have a sidewalk on the north side of Putes Road. That is our side of the street. And I also note that based on my listening to the concept review by United Financial Group, they also will have a sidewalk coming out of their property and on the north side of Putes Road. So that would provide a very important pedestrian linkage with our sidewalk on the north side of Putes Road. If the city chooses to put a sidewalk on the south side of Putes Road, that's a debate I think the city should have, and certainly it should involve the neighbors. But at this stage, to put an obligation or requirement that we build a south side sidewalk, I don't think is fair to us or the neighbors who haven't heard about it until the mayor mentioned it or I just mentioned it. So again, we've always committed to the north side, and we ask that that condition reflect that. We embrace the north side sidewalk condition. Number 6, I believe the comments have captured what the intent is. I do appreciate Alderwoman Wilhelm, her time. I, in the last several weeks, did speak with her several times about ideas for local mitigation opportunities. We are aware of what the Unified Development Ordinance says. I'm also aware of the opinion of the city attorney, I believe in a 2009 memo, that indicates there's no requirement for mitigation, but it certainly can be a condition placed by the council. And to balance those efforts, I really investigated a variety of leads that Alderwoman Wilhelm gave. I believe staff gave a number of those. City attorney mentioned even some that are on the agenda tonight. There's a DNR matching grant on your agenda at some point. Lots of ideas, lots of opportunities. The difficulty from Meyer's perspective is trying to figure out what one meets the city's needs best and how to go about accomplishing it. Because to take one step back, if you recall, our existing mitigation plan does as much as we can on site to enhance and improve the natural resources features that we are able to retain and to improve their quality and function. We also then, for those off-site mitigation requirements through the state permit that remains pending, but through that state permit, we propose to buy credits through a wetlands mitigation bank. But admittedly, that is not here in the city of Franklin. And so what we've attempted to do in this instance is provide something that is rooted in the city's local code as far as local mitigation opportunities, but with the difficulty of knowing what the best use of those funds would be, to suggest that the city be the recipient of those deposit funds, and we would have to provide those monies upon issuance of a building permit. So if things go as planned and we are issued that permit sometime in 2013, that would give the city a number of months to evaluate proposals. Maybe there's a wetlands mitigation bank opportunity that you have here in the city of Franklin, and there's a down payment or partial funds for your efforts that way. We don't presume to know what the best source or the best decision for that is. I know the UDO might suggest that it's our plan or we have to do it, but in this case, what our proposal is to create an opportunity for the city to tackle the next problem or the next issue that it wishes to face. And in so doing, that's where the strikeout for paragraph 8. We always understood from staff that those were related. It's the local mitigation, and so I grabbed the language about shoreland, shore buffer, and I put it in the intro of this, that for our wetland buffers, wetland setbacks, that's all from the old paragraph 6, and shore buffer mitigation, we propose this local deposit for the city. So that's the best we could come up with under these circumstances. It may not be the perfect plan, but certainly it is that is something new that we're here to present tonight. I do apologize that we weren't able to get the word out to all of you, but it really was an effort of involving a number of people, and it's something that we are pleased to announce and something that we can do. And as Mr. Dietl said, in addition to all that we were already doing, we are going to do the buckthorn on our site. We're going to take care of invasive species. We're going to improve the site conditions as far as how the wetlands function and do our stormwater surface ponds and subsurface ponds. All that we've already said we're going to do, we plan to do. And so certainly the wordsmithing, this was my quick version of the language, but I would invite if that condition is acceptable to the council, that the city attorney polish that as needed. Good. So I think that explained why taking out number 8, and then we just shifted the numbers. The old 9 becomes number 8. No changes. This is the top of page 14. The old 10 becomes 9. And the last one, the old 11, is completely written out because of that is related to the June 29th Heidi Hopkins of the Wisconsin State DNR letter that indicated to the city there's a process for shoreland zoning, and if the city does not follow that process, the DNR can step in, and that includes a 30-day comment period, and the state can actually do the city's zoning ordinance for shoreland.
Before I recognize all the adults, I have a question on that.
Yes.
Heidi Hopkins or Heidi Kennedy?
Kennedy.
I think it's the same person. And then there's two other letters, I believe, that came from wetland specialists from the DNR. In essence, there are a little bit of changes in all those letters, but the way I read them is that they're saying that Myers has not met their burden of proof in the mitigation process. And therefore, they offered a couple different sites that they would like you, Myers, to take a look at in order for them to be willing to consider a permit for Myers. As we sit here right now, my understanding is that they are still of that position that Myers has not met the burden of proof. Am I correct?
That is correct, although I can explain or clarify if you'd like.
Well, I just, because I think there's some confusion. The next question is more going to be for the city attorney. And that's that my understanding, I'm not an attorney, but that state laws, for the most part, trump the existing local ordinances, especially when it comes to the DNR and wetland issues. And so if the council was to move approval of this, it could move approval, but it would have to be contingent upon DNR approval. Is that...
That is correct, and that's what we've been requesting all the time. And in fact, it is specifically addressed on page 13, condition number 5. The applicant shall obtain all required approvals and permits from the Army Corps of Engineers, the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources, and the Federal Emergency Management Agency prior to issuance of a building permit.
Yeah, and I missed that little agency called the U.S. Corps of Army Engineers, which is a very, very... Alderman Wilhelm has pointed that out to me recently. Is let's not overlook that little group, and that's not so little. It's a very, very powerful entity. But let me ask the city attorney. With the DNR and the regulations, do those, in fact, I call it trump the local ordinances regarding the wetland permits?
DNR has a separate approval. And the local ordinance... as written, is subject to DNR approving whatever application is required for this project. I would prefer to say it's separate and distinct. There was some earlier discussion about some potential involvement by city government in discussions with DOT and DNR, and my recollection is that was somewhat driven by the June 29th letter, which at least in over 20-some years of me working on these types of matter, I never saw correspondence from the DNR in effect saying, local government, please put in any local approval document a requirement that says it shall not take effect until after DNR has reviewed the subject matter and that DNR may step in to the city or village or town and impose an ordinance which would supersede local ordinance. I had never seen that before. I think that's what drove what discussion there was. In any event, Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources has their approval process. The city of Franklin could approve filling an entire 2-acre wetland on a given parcel of land, and it will make absolutely no difference because a DNR permit would be required. And if a DNR, an Army Corps permit as required, is not granted, it will not happen. This particular proposed plan development district ordinance is specifically contingent upon DNR approval. This particular ordinance draft approves a dated site plan, which is the site plan which is in the packet, and the DNR approval would have to be consistent with the plan, which, if it's approved by the Common Council, with that plan, same is true for a separate condition with regard to Wisconsin Department of Transportation approval. Either of those agencies does not approve the developer's applications in a form that's consistent with the site plan referenced and incorporated in this document, the project is not approved.
Okay, but I'll take that. So if the council was to move on these, I think we have potentially 4 motions, it would be contingent, the development could not occur until such time as the applicant was granted the DNR permits and U.S. Corps of Army Engineers and whatever else needs to be approved. So it's really two separate roads. We're going down one road, which is fine, and the DNR and Army Corps of Engineers, etc., are going down another road. So you have to get our approvals, and then you have to get all these other entities' approvals. We're actually doing something like that, or will be shortly, and it's with Crystal Ridge Ski Hill. Waukee County may be giving approvals for Crystal Ridge, but they're still going to have to work with us and our ordinances because we have special use permits on there. So it's not really that we're ruled or directed by the DNR. It's that you and any applicant must comply with both sets of rules.
Yeah. I agree with that, Mayor, but I do have one technicality that council can hear from Mr. Ryan on that. With regard just to legality, I don't have any technical objection to any of his proposed changes, except with regard to that last paragraph, condition number 11 that is struck out, as proposed to be struck out on page 14. That verbatim is the condition which was driven by the June 29 DNR letter, which said, absent any approval by their application at that time, absent an application by the developer, that any city approval must contain the following language, which is, in fact, a Franklin City Code provision. And that's the unusual circumstance, at least in my experience, where in the event that the Common Council would approve the ordinance and that an application is not approved by the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources, this particular ordinance or the ordinance which might be approved by the council cannot take effect until the department is notified of that adoption and that it has 30 days to consider whether or not the department would adopt a superseding shoreland ordinance for the city, and that if the department does so notify the Common Council, the effect of the amendment shall be stayed, which would be any approval, would be stayed until the adoption by the DNR is complete. So it's a prolonged effective date. And when this issue arose, my suggestion was that the applicant get confirmation one way or another, because we have heard at meetings that there was some less intent from DNR since that June 29th letter. I did receive an email forwarded to me from Attorney Randall from the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources today, and you can read that if you're interested. My comment late this afternoon when he read it to me over the phone and then emailed it to me was that, and I'll quote myself through all, in a perfect world, it would say June 29th notice is hereby withdrawn. But it doesn't say that. And I discussed it also with the city planning manager. So I'm not on a word-for-word review perfectly comfortable with suggesting that you remove Condition 11 as it exists. And I thought about, well, if that condition comes out, maybe the standard form effective provision at the end of nearly every ordinance council adopts, which says it takes effect and is enforced from and after its passage and publication, that perhaps something be added, which would be redundant to the, and after DNR approval of the developer's application, but that's already a condition in here. I'm just not perfectly comfortable suggesting that Section 11 or Condition Number 11 on page 14 come out, because I've seen nothing from DNR saying we're hereby withdrawing our June 29th notice.
Alderman Olson.
For the record, we're now on G13.
I was just going to say point of order.
Not on G12, we're on G13. If I may, Mr. Mayor, Mr. Beadle, how many acres mitigation, let me put it this way, how many acres are impacted by this development for getting qualified for mitigation?
Correct me if I'm wrong, it may be slightly less than one.
That's only one. You've got to consider both.
I'm not sure.
5.2. At $20,000 and the city taking responsibility for doing all the work, I believe I heard the number of $40,000 per acre is the mitigation bank for dollars on. So it sounds to me like that dollar's way short. Especially in light of the fact that the city has to do the work that Meyer was supposed to do, although I agree that we may be better qualified to find locations. That's a big issue with me. Some of these suggestions are fine. I agree with the city attorney, as you would expect. Item 11. I have issues in other spots in this document, and whenever the mayor so chooses, I'd like to go through them. But I got to tell you, getting this piece of paper this afternoon, I think I got it at 4:15 this afternoon. It's endemic of what we've seen from Meyer. I take it as an insult, and it's very rude. I get plans that were drawn up the week before at 11 o'clock on Saturday night for a Tuesday meeting. My entire involvement with this development, I've been, as I mentioned to you and Mr. Behrens when we first met back in February, I like this development, and we need to find a way to make it happen. But every time somebody from the city said, Myers, we'd like you to do this, what did we get? You just heard silence. Citizens of this city, and again, I want to find a way to make this work, but I'm damn tired of hearing no, and I'm damn tired of hearing silence, and I'm damn tired of getting things last minute. I'm still waiting for a phone call from Friday afternoon from your consultant, because I wanted to know what I could put in an email to my constituents telling them about what's going on. This package is not ready for prime time. Too many issues, too many outstanding issues. We'll go back to G12. The environmental impact issue is incomplete at best. It doesn't consider anything relative to alternate plans. we've got an issue with the DOT. I say we need to minimize Putes Road. Remember I said Putes Road is a deal breaker. Y'all remember that? Okay. Now, I've had to back off of that. What's Meyer done? I backed off of that and said, we can take some of the traffic off of Putes by doing a right-in, right-out. You drew it up. DOT said, not there. Then what did I catch for the rest of the period of time? From everybody. DOT says no. I said, no, the DOT did not say no. They said no to that location. You ask a question, you get an answer, right, Jesse? I want that right in and I want that right out for my constituents and for Ken's constituents and Tim's constituents who are heading north on Highway 100. I'll hear no. 24-hour issue. Everybody says no 24 hours. I get why you want 24 hours. I personally don't have a problem with it. My constituents do. I'm supposed to represent them. They say no 24 hours. I say, okay, let me see what I can do to get Meyer to maybe bend on that. So what does old Steve do? Think a little creatively? If the store operates the way you say it, though, and I have no doubt that it will, why can't you put in a clause? Why won't you put in a clause that says the city has the right to review operations, 24-hour operations, 18 months after a store opens? I heard, no, not going to do it. Common answer. Now you got in here, you change it, so now the trucks do get to run, but during business hours. We give and we give and we give. Now, $20,000, we're supposed to do mitigation? And Mr. Mayor, I have procedurally a problem with the way the city has behaved on this. Environmental Commission, I don't believe, did their job. I'll let Alderman Woodland address most of the issues there. I would like to allow, or like us to allow. But the Plan Commission didn't talk about any of the recommendations offered by staff, not one. And I think I was at every meeting. There's 14 recommendations, not one of them got discussed. One of them is important to my constituents. There was a recommendation by staff that we discussed, a demolition button. I think that's important. I want it in the document. And I've got a number of other things. But, you know, it's about time, and Meyer might say, we're done, but the city has a stake in this as well. Alderman Taylor, I take from last week, or 2 weeks ago, I want to do this now. I don't care if we're last. I want it done right. These people deserve it. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'm done for the moment.
You're welcome. Alderman Wilson.
Wow, that's kind of hard to follow up.
I'm going to be the Baptist minister.
Well, I guess I have to agree because I did offer several suggestions. One of the things I offered was to do some landscaping over on United Financial's property for mitigation, which this development will financially affect that development. It's going to affect the sellability of that. That's a tax base for the city just as much as Myers is. I was told, no, we can't do that. I talked to Bob Zolli, and he said, well, that's what we were hoping to get. So it's just another one of those instances where I haven't seen a whole lot of give and take. And to answer the question about the wetland impact, it would be 1.4. Well, this, I don't know. There's been so many different staff write-ups, but this one says 1.4 acres to be mitigated. Then setbacks, it says 3.8 acres. We're talking about 4 acres there. Then there's the floodplain that would be filled, which I did have a concern of the compensatory storage on that. And then there's also the shore buffers. A total of 3.8 acres would be mitigated. So that's a lot more than 1 acre. So take a $20,000 payment to the city to mitigate everything that was just said in here. Then try to pay someone like Grave or Cedarburg Science to write the mitigation plan for us. Then try to pay someone to go out with their equipment to do it and then follow it up for 3 years. That $20,000 is not anywhere near what they would have to do if we actually had to follow our ordinance. And I'm not very happy with how the whole special exception process has gone. I sat back here and took notes on every single person who commented, and there were a lot of people in favor. There were some people not in favor, and then there are some people, please just help us out and give us some assistance on some of these issues. But I'd like to say to the people that I have never opposed this development. I haven't come right and said I'm totally, totally for it, because actually I would like to see it in a different location. But I like Meijer. I'm a Michigan gal, shop at Meijer. I know Meijer. I'm happy with the store. That's not a problem. So when I hear people say, you need to pass this, you need to stop messing around, I'm wondering, what do they think I'm doing at home when I'm reading 600-page council packets, looking at these documents, asking staff for the mitigation report that the Environmental Commission never even looked at, looking at the different things and the aspects, comparing things to what we've done in the past, finding that this project says they get to have all their permits based on a building permit, not on a grading permit. So now you have no DNR approval, no DOT approval, no Army Corps approval, no natural resource inspection plan, no conservation easements, nothing like that, and we're going to give everything based on contingent on a building permit, not a grading permit, Mr. Bennett, a building permit. That means once this is approved, they can go out and start just clearing ground, and we don't have anything in place. And I have had people tell me, go ahead, we just need to get this in. Okay, what about the people that are going to flood? What about your homes? Do you care? Do you want us to do this right? Do you want it that bad that you just want to jeopardize people's houses? I'm for this as far as having Meijer here. Do it right. You know, do something good for the community. Resolve these issues. Give the people, the public, the opportunity to see a final plan, to see where you're going to do a mitigation, to see where you're going to do the roads and the driveways, and based on the upper level approvals that we have no control over. Yeah, I can say pass this contingent upon all this. My experience with contingencies has been half the time they don't get followed up on. Staff gets busy. Economy picks up. Things get lost. Take a ride down Rawson Avenue and look at all the dead plants down there that they were supposed to have, replacing them with, you know, tree replacement policies. Who's following up on that? You know, the mitigation plan that was supposedly done for Woodlands and Franklin by Leonard G. Thull, the trees are dead over there. No one even watered them. These are the kind of things that we need to watch out for. We need to protect the community from the things that they don't understand. And all of these documents that I've been weighing over for months, I have concerns. And it's not about not letting Meijer in here. It's about protecting you, the people I represent, the people in this community that deserve decent access when they drive to work, deserve homes that their basement walls don't cave in, and deserve a nice aesthetic appeal to their community. We can get to that point. I'm all for this. I'm completely on board with it. But I'm not there yet. And I have really tried. I've really, really tried. I've gone through, okay, I can live with that, I can live with that. There are some things that I just can't live with on this. And I wish everyone spent as much time up here reading this stuff and could understand where I'm coming from on this. Like I said, I'm the one who likes to read. I put a lot of effort. I gave my whole Labor Day weekend up to reading and sending out an email to my constituents to let them know what was going on. So I would hope that the council members would take the public's what they need to know into consideration before we just say all of these contingencies. Let them know what they're getting. Let Meijer know we're good with this. We can pass the CSM. We can, you know, pass maybe some of the other things, like the change to the There are a couple things we probably could pass, but there's a couple things that just really need to have the details flushed out. And that's not saying no, go away. You've got 30 days minimum before you're even going to hear from the DNR because they haven't even published their public hearing notice yet. Then the Army Corps has to weigh in. We don't even know where they're at. Then I forgot about the other one, Sewer Pack. They need to make a write-up because this is a secondary environmental quorum. I would like to know what they all have to say before I can say, yeah, they've met all their alternatives. There's nothing else they can possibly do but fill floodplain. I want somebody else to tell me. Somebody that's not just trying to push this politically because we fear they're going to go away. All right, I'll stop for now. I have some other things to say.
Alderman Skronsky and then Alderman Taylor.
I won't take this long. There's two things that somewhat of a concern I have as your adjacent property owner. I would like to see more of a letter of understanding between you and United Financial, assuring them that they're going to have to properly place trees and foliage to give them any sound control and landscaping. And I would like to see that. There's a definite yes, and that be written in to the agreement. I don't think that's too hard to do, and it'll be approved by the city attorney. And talk to your neighbor, Mr. Zolli, and make sure that that's part of it. As far as some of the other things, I won't go over what Alderman Olson, Alderman Wilhelm have done. I think when there are agencies that supersede our citizens and our community, there's not much we can do about it. We work with them, we negotiate, and we, in some cases, do a lot of background arm twisting to make sure things like this happen. But we still don't have the authority over the DOT and the DNR. As much as I think we have a very good working relationship with those two agencies. So I think the story is going to be after, I know sometimes there's pain and agony that go through this, and as we sit up here, the seven of us go through a lot of the details, you folks out there would be surprised what goes into trying to make a decision on this and to protect the community. That's why we have a city attorney to make sure this happens. We have staff people to make sure that they're accountable to our city ordinances and to the constituents and to us. We're the board of directors up here. The old story is don't get us mad because we'll set the rules and the regulations. So we rely on those people in order to get it done, and we rely on the companies that come into this city to be good citizens, look at the citizens they're going to be around. I think you have a fine company. I visited them. I went out of my way to go to Illinois and check out on the stores. And I have a lot of friends down there, and they speak very highly of the company. They're very good community-based people. They help out a lot. So I'm going to leave it go with that. And I just think, sir, make sure that you talk with Mr. Zolli. You get that letter of understanding, and it is part of this agreement. And that's all I have to say. Thank you.
Alderman Taylor?
Thank you, Your Honor. I was just going to sit here quietly tonight, but I kind of got dragged into a little bit because of the comments I made 2 weeks ago. There's no doubt this is a controversial location. I wasn't in this community when the Super Walmart came up, but based on all the discussions I've had, we have a lot more people showing up opposing it. And the reason is pretty simple. Look what's sat there since there. Nothing. Since that time, nothing's happened. And, you know, I don't think Meyer's going to go away if we delay it 2 weeks. So, you know, I think they're in this for a long haul. But I just can't see a reason why we continue to, I think, put the residents through this, giving them some sort of hope for those that live in that area that this is not going to happen. Because this is going to happen. And that's the reality here. Now, Alderman Olson is correct. He represents, we all represent about 6,000 people, 5,700, 5,800 people. We do have to represent our district. And I know there's a percentage of you that do not want this. I respect that. I mean, you know, any issue that where there's change, any issue, any district where something is being proposed, there's always those that say they don't want it. And you know, I live right off of 27th Street, and there's a time down the road that maybe the property in my backyard gets redeveloped. I'll have to live with it. My neighbors have to live with it. That'd be pretty hypocritical to say, well, I don't want this in my backyard when I'm telling others that you're going to have this in yours. So, you know, this is a project that is good for the community. It's a major intersection. You know, there's a lot of contingencies. Alderman Skronsky's right. You know, we have outstanding state attorney. We have staff that will look at us to hammer out the fine details. But really, continuing to refer this time and time again is getting old for me. I think someone recently said that my philosophy on this one is get her done. Well, that's correct. I think it's time to get this done. It's time to move forward. And, you know, there's I know there's people not completely 100% happy with every item in this agreement or any of the agreements, any of the forms that we're going to adopt tonight. But that's always the case. Nothing's ever perfect. But this is a project that is needed in this community. And if you can't live with it and you have to vote against it, then that's the way it is. But I think we have to send a message and really send a message to the business community that this is a place you want to do business. And here we're having, you know, some attack saying that they're not listening. Well, maybe you're listening. Maybe Meyer just doesn't agree. And, you know, for us to 18 months start looking at the books and determine whether or not they're going to stay open 24 hours or not, and I thought we were supposed to have less government intrusion. That's just gone the opposite way. That's like government intrusion on steroids, frankly. To even think that we would do something like that. But I heard it here tonight. So, you know, I'm going to support whatever we have moving forward. I know we have some motions probably ready to be read into the record tonight. I'm going to allow the alderman of the district the opportunity to make all the amendments and recommendations he wants, and we can vote up and down on those one by one. But I really think that, you know, this is a good project for the city. I do understand, though, that there are those that live around it don't like it, and frankly, you know, unfortunately, that this is necessary. That's it.
Well, in Solomon and Alderman Olson.
This is the second real big proposal that I've had to sort through. The other one was in my district. It's called Linden Village. I do believe we were in the green room because the council chambers in the adjacent room were too small. That's where we started out, right? I still have all the registered letters that I received from that project. About, I think, 60 or 70 of them that were vehemently against it. But I supported it because it was a need of the community. It's a beautiful facility. Sure, there's some vacant land, some vacant buildings over there right now, and some vacant land. But if the economy would have kept building, they'd be full right now. It had been full a long time ago. Starting to get back into it again. There is some movement to get additional people in there. Just because people are making money, that doesn't mean that the market doesn't move forward. Most of you don't know. I'll bet probably nobody knows, except for maybe the attorneys that read the documents. The Crown Group has a 76th Street store and complex up for sale. Right now, it's all for sale. Pick and save on 76th Street. Why are they shopping that? Because they're out to make a profit. It's called the business world. They buy and sell properties. They're out of Illinois. They've been very, very good to the community of Franklin. And all the environs that are around them. I support this Meyer project. I would like to see us move forward with the four motions, with the contingencies put on that Alderman Olson talked about, those contingencies specifically to involve the the mitigation process with the DOR or the DNR and the DOT. And we'll move forward on all of those other little projects that need to go back to the city attorney to dot the I's and cross the T's. But if we're looking for tax relief, and I'm not saying your taxes are going to go down, they just might not go up as high because this is going to bring some dollars to the community. It's going to bring some dollars to the school district. That's it in a nutshell. The facilities that were programmed over there that we spent dollars on to have a wonderful study, well, that study was done back in 2004. The economy was booming. We were building subdivisions, 200 houses a year. Now we're lucky to build 10 a month. I should say 10 a year. That's the difference. The economy's down right now, but it is starting to come back. We see it on the proposals that come through the mayor's office. This has been on the agenda since February. Let's move some of this process forward. Fair enough? Thank you.
Alderman Olson.
I assure everybody in this room that second only to the Meyer folks, I want this overlay. Second only to you guys. So anytime anybody says, let's move this along, I'm right on board with that. But understand, we don't usually do packages in pieces. And we don't usually take last-minute changes to developments, especially as large as this one. And be aware that every time something's come before this council, it's been at the request of the applicant. So, because there's not a bow around this, it's not our fault. And I'm not looking to place blame, it's just the reality. They're still making filings. So, is it appropriate that we, as the board of directors of this corporation, approve something with contingencies, knowing with all good probability that changes will be made by the state, which will nullify the document and cause us to have to start this all over again. Does that make any sense? I don't think so, as a business person. Doing things twice just makes no sense to me. And I get why they want to have it done this way, for two reasons. One is it's the camel's nose in the tent. You saw that in my email for last month. You know, a camel sticks his nose in the tent. Pretty soon, you're sleeping with a camel. Deal's done. These guys are not stupid. Let me rephrase that. These are very bright individuals. They know what they're doing. But, and the second reason is obviously if they walked into the state DOT or DNR and says, city's already approved this, that gives them more leverage. I'm okay with all of that, except it's not good business for the city. So, let me just give you the bottom line. I'll support the CSM. No issues there. Makes perfect sense. Let's move on with that. The natural resources special exception is a mess. That needs to go back and have the findings done properly. There's no discussion about, there's language in there that all alternatives have been studied. We had no discussion about reducing the size of the building, even as small as taking out the garden center, which doesn't impact the sale floor, but could really impact the amount of wetlands and shore buffers that are affected. We haven't had that discussion. The Environmental Commission didn't do it. There's a statement in there about impact to neighbors. The direct neighbors are getting impacted. There should have been a statement regarding the direct neighbors. So I would not support the Natural Resources Protection Fund. Period. PDD, I've got things I'd like to add and see where they go, but you know, I'm interested in having something that our neighbors can say that Meyer was good folks and helped them out. Right now, they'll have a story. The change to the comprehensive master plan, I don't have an issue.
Did you want to Given that we go back to the protocol, G11.
Well, Mr. Mayor, but here's the problem. We've been negotiating with ourselves all along. When you do two-party negotiations, it's not good for the public. I don't want to put the Meyer folks on the spot. The board already has it. Sorry, Michael. I'd offer these up, but I'd prefer to table the PDD until the applicant brings it back after discussion with us on the several items that I have.
Well, given that you talked about the procedures, we are G11.
We've been discussing.
Well, we discussed 13 because it was thrown in last minute. There was a request to read it. So.
Okay, so you move back to 11?
Yeah. I mean, the reason we're here tonight is we did lay this matter over so that you could be here tonight.
You're the mayor.
So.
Number 11.
Item 11, did you want to make a motion?
So moved, Mr. Mayor. Move to approve. This is, by the way, the audience. This is combining.
Just because of the importance of this, just so we understand what.
Do you
want to
read it?
Okay. A motion to adopt an ordinance to amend the City of Franklin 2025 Comprehensive Master Plan, change the future land use map use designation for property located at the eastern corner of West Loomis Road and West St. Martin's Road, South Highway 100, from mixed use to commercial use, and to change the City of Franklin Crossroads Trade Area Regulating Plan to allow for such commercial use, approximately 29.488 acres. And submitted by David W. Behrens, principal of Greenberg Faro Architecture, Inc., the applicant. Is that your motion, Alderman?
I'll make that motion.
Is there a second?
Second.
Under discussion, Mr. City Attorney?
The draft of the ordinance in the packet contemplated the legal description being within the planned development draft ordinance, so as to have to duplicate the word. So the legal description would have to be added to this ordinance as a technical change as opposed to referencing some ordinance adopted of even date here with unless that occurs.
Probably better, Mr. Mayor, than you have that.
All right. Is that you're in agreement with the city attorney then? Alderman Olson?
Yes, sir.
Okay, and who is the second?
Yes,
and
sir.
You're in agreement,
yes,
as well? All right. Any further discussion, Alderman Olson?
Just for the constituents in the audience, what this motion does is it says that it's okay to build a grocery store in this zoning district. What is it?
Okay.
Essentially.
All right. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed, six ayes, no noes, ayes have it. Motion carries. Item G12.
Could we move to the other item on table, G12, first?
Well, I was trying to follow what said that we were out of order, so. Let me ask you, do you have a problem, Alderman Olson, with item G12?
If I
move,
yes. Mr. Mayor?
I believe you said yes.
I did, yes.
Okay. Do you want to go to 13?
I don't know
what you want to do. Okay. Alderman
Wilhelm? I might suggest that we table G12 and allow the planning manager and the city attorney to work with the consultant to address the responses so they accurately reflect the findings and standards. And that would be a motion you could make if you so desired.
Before we go back and send it back to the city attorney and the staff, because this has been going on since how long?
February.
And then we've had two public hearings, we've had a plan commission meeting, we've had two common council meetings, we've had flyers out. I guess I would probably, Mr. Randall, on behalf of your client, there's going to be a motion or possible motion to refer this back to staff. Do you have any response?
Mr. Mayor, thank you for the opportunity. You know, as far as some of the discussion I've heard, in particular to this issue, the natural resources special exception, we certainly have respected the process, and indeed we submitted an application on May 25th or thereabouts, as I recall, and we went through the process, and the very request for council action on G12 memorializes that the Environmental Commission heard the matter on June 20th. The Plan Commission, after several hearings, recommended approval on July 19th of the NRSE. This is the first that we're hearing about deficiencies in the process or the findings that were made, and certainly, as I indicated, we respected the process, trusted in it, and we believe we applied for what it is we needed to do to construct this store, and we put our best foot forward by way of mitigation and otherwise. That said, we certainly want the process to be done right, but I really question the council as you look at each project as they come before you, whether this is the process that is undertaken, whether it's typical or what have you, and indeed we are a large site and we have a lot going on. But we've put our mitigation plan in front of you from day one. Indeed, tonight I changed that. I talked about a local opportunity. We'd like to provide partnership with the city, provide funds. I guess even in light of that, there are disadvantages or there are problems with that approach, and I can respect that. But that's the only thing new tonight that we're submitting to you is an opportunity for the city to determine how best locally to address use those types of funds. But our plan at all times, including reduction of impacted wetlands and including working with the DNR in our permit application and recognizing that all of this comes down to the DNR permit in many respects, so that we can follow that plan and we can stick to this site plan, whether it's DOT or DNR. We've just followed the process that the city laid out in June 20th and July 19th were the last two meetings that this was discussed in substance, and it was approved at both of those junctures.
Alderman Wilson.
Mayor, Attorney Randall is a very nice person and very well-spoken. However, for him to sit here and say that this is the first he's heard, I would be more than happy to forward you the email where I had that discussion where I had concerns with some of that, those issues. In addition to the comments that I made that I wasn't real happy about how the Environmental Commission handled this, I was fully aware that they didn't really even know what they were passing. You can ask them if they even know the difference between a shoreline wetland and a wetland buffer, and I'm not even sure they know the difference. So I guess the fact that there are staff write-ups that say that the Natural Resources Special Exception Plan isn't complete, I can probably go through and pull out those sections where staff mentions it quite a few times. So this should not come as a surprise that it needs some work, and especially given the fact that the new $20,000 was dumped on, shouldn't we give it consideration and maybe get some costs on if we can do that at $20,000? We're just going to pull that off the top of our heads tonight and decide that, oh, yeah, that'll work. And then you know what's going to happen? Everybody's going to have an idea for that $20,000. And then there'll be a big argument at the council level. We need to have in place, like the ordinance says, a plan that covers mitigation for the impacts that are at the site. That's what the ordinance requires. That's the process. And I think we should stick with the process until we dump the process, which is talk about getting rid of that. But until then, the standards and findings are there. And the Environmental Commission based the standard and findings that you've met your alternative analysis on something. It certainly wasn't the letter from the DNR that said you hadn't even submitted a full application yet.
There has been no motion on item 12. There has been some discussion about laying it over, but we do have six aldermen up here, and I don't know exactly which motion is going to be made. Alderman Schmidt?
Yes. I would like to see this project come to fruition as much as anyone on the council. There are so many contingencies that I am troubled by trying to move too fast on this myself. I'd be willing to support any of these things, but I do have an issue with this one as far as a special exception, creating a special exception. I think that there is need to get more from the DNR to show us where we're going with this. And I believe Alderman Wilhelm did want to make a motion to table this item, and I would support that. And
did you want to make a motion?
I'll make a motion to table G12.
Okay, is there a second?
Mm-hmm.
To a specific date?
So
next common council meeting?
2 weeks.
18. I'll table it. Motion to table it until September 18. Okay. Is there a second? Who is the second? Okay. You're okay with that?
Sure.
All right. Under discussion, the city attorney and then Alderman Olson.
Part of the city development has been monitoring the code type requirements on these matters. A long time, I don't remember if it was the last council meeting or the Black Commission meeting where Attorney Randall executed an extension. I have a copy in my file, so the council should be doing this deal as the
Mr. Deedle?
I believe they granted the city 30 days. With the anticipation that that could encompass two common council meetings.
So where are we on the timeline? Are we in trouble? We need another...
I believe that we could extend this to the next council meeting, but then that's it, unless the applicant would extend another extension.
All right. Mr. Randall, I think we asked you for an extension. Is it the last meeting? It's been so many.
That is correct. The last meeting being August 21st, I seem to recall I did write 30 days. It's in the file somewhere, and so that would take us to September 21st. So September 18th meeting should be covered by the previously authorized extension.
Alderman Olson?
Well, I'll just throw this out for the applicant. I think you've heard substantial frustration on my part with what I view the piecemeal nature of the project. I think you heard it from a couple of other aldermen. So my suggestion to you is give us and you enough time to put a bow around all of this stuff, put it on our desk, and let us do both. Because respectfully, I submit that. I know you got issues with it. I just put it out there for whatever it's worth. Now, the purpose of tabling the special exception, in my view, is to more completely correct and fill out the form. I don't see this as, I see the consultation, but I don't see this as an issue for the applicant. Because you submitted what you submitted, and we acted on what you had. So so this is really up to the staff and the Environmental Commission to fix this report.
Okay, there's a motion to table to the 18th. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed?
No.
Madam Clerk, please take the roll.
Alderman Olson.
Aye.
Alderman Solomon.
Aye.
Alderman Wilhelm.
Aye.
Alderman Taylor.
No.
Alderman Schmidt.
Aye.
Alderman Skarzki.
Aye.
Five ayes, one no. Ayes have it. Motion carries. Okay, item 13. Alderman Olson, and it.
Condition that the applicant pursue it right in and right out St. Martin's Road. And in saying that, I make specific note that I am not dictating a position or whether it's one entrance or two. Again, you ask a question, you get an answer. The question asked of the DOT was, can we put it here? And they said, no, you can't put it here. And then listening further, because they didn't want cross three-lane access to the left turn. Even though you can go to the Walgreens store and the exit allows you to cross three lanes to get to the left turns. But now my condition is that the request be made and the applicant do all due diligence and negotiations with the DOT to make that happen. It is not conditioned on approval.
On page 116, there's a recommended motion. Be willing to make that motion with all the conditions that you just specified?
I'm not done.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I would like the inclusion of some surety for demolition in the event that we experience what has happened in Ohio, where our store is empty.
I'm sorry, what?
Demolition bond is what is commonly known as.
Having trouble with this here.
I have no preconceived notions as to dollar amount, type of form, what makes sense and what doesn't, other than and Meyer Franklin does not have a history of leaving empty stores, except that there are a few in Ohio. that I could find. But I think it's important that we protect the value of our neighborhoods and do that. By the way, in case anybody wants to take issue, Wauwatosa has a program. There's several other cities nearby that have similar programs. So my motion would condition it on negotiations and instruction by the city attorney.
Do you mind if I read a motion and then put the conditions on the motion that's in there? Well, it's given the severity of all the meetings, and we are talking about a $15 million project. Is there a motion? Yes, Mr. City Attorney.
Plan Development District ordinance amongst these pages contemplates that a special exception grant accompanies it. So with the postponement of further consideration of the special exception grant until the next county council meeting, I would suggest that the same action be taken with regard to the Plan Development District ordinance.
All right. Look. Is it? Do you see any problems with the existing motion that is in the packet, which I'm guessing your office probably recommended?
No, this was part of the city.
Okay. Do you see any problem with that motion, with the caveat that the conditions as enumerated by Alderman Olson? In other words, let me read this and then add on the. Or would you like to fashion a motion? It's the reason I'm saying is it's 5 minutes to nine. We have about 40 other issues on the agenda tonight.
I understand that, but perhaps motion should be direct staff to add X number of conditions, but I would remain of the mind that Plan Development District ordinance that contemplates existing with it special exception becomes premature. You can ask Attorney Randall if he disagrees with that. It doesn't work without a special exception.
Maybe what I should do is ask the other council members, is there any objection to the proposed motion when it's made by Alderman Olson with all the caveats and all the provisions, or is there somebody on the council who would also just like to make the motion that's in the packet?
Alderman
Olson?
I have a question.
Alderman Scrasman.
Jack, when you issue a grading permit, if there is a building on the property, does that mean that building gets demolished and removed at the same time?
Not necessarily.
Would that be part of the condition of giving a grading permit? I would ask all of the motion to head it up.
We do not have a motion on the floor right now. There is a suggested motion in your packets on page 116. And it would be a motion to adopt an ordinance to create section chapter 15, 3.0441 of the Franklin Unified Development Ordinance establishing Plan Development District number 36 and to rezone property from B3 Community Business District, Plan Development District number 31 and FW Floodway District to Plan Development District number 36 and FW Floodway District subject to the condition that the city is able to get the bypass lanes on West Putes Road, eastern corner of West Loomis Road and West St. Martin's Road. Is there a motion to that effect?
I'll make the motion the way it stands.
Second. It's been moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Alderman Wilhelm?
Well, what I have in front of me is a really good write-up from planning staff that mentions all of these things that they feel we should be addressing. And I agree with a lot of them. In fact, some of them are really important. But the problem is, I turn the page to the ordinance that we're about to adopt, and those things aren't even addressed in the ordinance. So it's not binding. None of this stuff that sounds really good to me, that I like, that I agree with, that makes me comfortable with this project, are in the ordinance. But someone who's reading this might go, oh, yeah, that's good. They're covering that. That's good. They're covering that. It's not binding. None of this is binding. And I still have an objection to some of the language in the PDD. that allows for the building permit versus the grading permit. I don't think you want to go ahead and give them a building permit or a grading permit if you still have don't have DOT and DNR and Army Corps approvals. That should be grading permit, at least in that one section.
Alderman, would you like to make an amendment to the motion?
Yeah, I would. So many pages here now. We've just got a new one to listen to.
See if your amendment passes.
Now, let me find here.
Your Honor, would it be proper to take the item up first, point of order, and then add comments and results? Or actually, it's friendly amendments.
Yeah,
it's
so worthwhile. Yeah, you know, I was thinking of that last night.
I think I have the floor.
I did a point of order.
Point of order
takes precedent. I'm going to ask the city attorney as the parliamentarian if that's correct.
Technically, I don't believe there's been a second to that motion. So there's been a motion before.
So there wasn't a
second. Well, Alderman Wilhelm was discussing a motion to make an amendment, as I understand.
Okay. I think the question was, though, does the main motion, do you first have to act on the main motion before you entertain amendments?
Right. No.
Okay. Alderman Wilhelm.
So it's my understanding the motion on the table would pass this document that we just got handed to us tonight. That's the ordinance for passing right now? Or is that the...
The ordinance is found on page 116.
The ordinance is on 116?
I'm sorry, the motion. The motion that
the
was made.
The motion's on 116, but that's what I said. The motion goes with all these great things that sounds like I can agree with, but then is it part of this whole ordinance? No, it's just that staff's write-up. So the ordinance is further back where it has all these legal descriptions.
I guess just as an answer to your question, if you don't feel comfortable with the motion, you have the ability of voting against it and then maybe making an amendment or trying to bring forward an amendment now as part of the motion.
Well, does anyone even know that the motion includes things like the mitigation requirement or supposed to hire a consultant? This doesn't even go with what we completely discussed. There's things in here that will now need to be changed. One of them that needs to be changed is on page 13, page 130 in the packet. The applicant shall obtain all required approvals and permits from the Army Corps, DNR, FEMA, prior to the building permit. I would like that to say grading permit.
Alderman, I'm not trying to be argumentative, but the item that was presented to all of us tonight, late this afternoon, was presented. It was not in concrete. It has not been voted on. So the Common Council has the ability of voting on whatever they want to vote on. And they have a motion on the floor.
So I'm suggesting this amendment to the maker of the motion that item 5 does not say building permits, says grading permit, and also includes the approval letter from Sewer Pack on item 5, page 130.
All right, is there a second to the amendment?
Second.
All right, under discussion, seeing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye. Right.
Those opposed?
No.
No.
Madam Clerk, please take the roll.
Alderman Skronsky?
No.
Alderman Schmidt?
Aye.
Alderman Taylor?
No.
Alderman Wilhelm?
Aye.
Alderman Sound?
No.
Alderman Olson?
Aye.
The motion fails for lack of a majority. On the main motion, Alderman Wilhelm, you still have the floor.
And then also, this is... where's the other one? Well, I'll let Alderman Olson to deal with the issues that aren't consistent with what we just talked about. I need an attempt to correct some things.
Alderman Solomon.
I would like to piggyback on a comment made by Alderman Skoronsky, and that is, and I don't have a problem with Alderman's Wilhelm number 5. I voted no because I want to add more to it. The applicant shall obtain all required approvals and permits from the Corps, DNR, and FEMA prior to issuing of a building permit. Change that building permit to a grading permit. And also, that the buildings that are on the premises be removed.
Is that a motion or for an amendment?
That's an amendment to the motion.
It's been moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Ayes have it. Motion carries.
The good thing is the barn's gone.
All right.
Mayor?
Yes, Alderman Wilhelm.
I would also like the PDD to...
Is this a motion? An amendment?
Well, maybe I'll suggest this to Alderman Olson. The PDD should have language in it that changes that come back should be in consultation with the district alderman, because I frequently see this where changes are made and staff determines their minor adjustment and the public doesn't get the light of day to see any of it.
Second.
All right. It's been moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, ayes have it. Motion carries. Did we take up the main motion?
No,
we didn't. No. On the main motion, would you like Ms. City Attorney?
I understand the Common Council to be working from the ordinance draft within the Common Council agenda packet. And that concludes at, text concludes at page 131 or 132,
right.
And not what Attorney Randall had proposed.
I read the motion that is contained on page 116, and I believe Alderman Taylor made the motion and seconded by Alderman Skronsky. All those in favor of the motion? Alderman Olson.
Okay. I'll make a motion to incorporate changes suggested by Attorney Randall with the exception of 6C. Accepting
6. Right. This is an amendment to the main motion?
Correct.
Okay.
With the exception, you said?
Without including 6C.
What page is
that? Well, 12 of the document that Attorney Randall.
Okay.
Without G6, subject to negotiation. And obviously then G8 and G11.
All right, is that your motion?
Among others, Mr. Mayor.
All right, is there a second to the amendment, the amended motion?
Yeah, we need it.
But I need a second. Is there a second to the
a
motion?
Second.
All right. Under discussion, Alderman Taylor.
So you're saying you do not want 6C in there about the that no construction shall be prohibited from idling by loading on more than 15 hours at 10 p.m. and 7 p.m. Okay with that,
those vehicles
to be idle.
No, their suggestion is to add to allow idling during normal business hours.
No, truck shall be prohibited.
Idling while loading on yes, between 10 p.m. and 7 a.m. during the business hours,
no.
They are permitted to idle.
Yeah.
No, turn them off.
It's your motion. Whatever you want.
Turn them off.
Okay. And who is second?
I would do these one by one.
Well, you're making an assumption, Alderman Taylor, and I'm not sure what you have the privilege to do.
Alderman Olson, you have the floor. And I believe you've made a motion, an amendment to the main motion. And I believe it was seconded, but I think I don't. Alderman Wilhelm seconded the motion for amendment. Okay. On the amendment, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed?
No. Aye.
Is that a no or an aye?
That's a no.
Okay.
You asked for it.
Madam Clerk, please take the roll.
Alderman Olson.
Aye.
Alderman Salmon.
No.
Alderman Wilhelm.
Aye.
No.
Alderman Schmidt?
Aye.
Alderman Skronsky?
No.
Okay. Three ayes, three noes. The motion fails for lack of a majority. Back on the main motion. Alderman Solomon, on the main motion.
I made a good assumption, I guess.
Yeah.
I want to go back to the presentation by Attorney Randall. And everything. I agreed with everything except the idling while unloading. That's a problem with refrigerated trucks. If you've got trucks with frozen goods on them, they need to idle to keep the refrigeration units going. So,
Alderman Solomon has the floor. Why don't we all respect the Alderman
so
while he's speaking?
If it's a refrigerated truck, you normally have those idling, whether it's a beer truck, whether it's a frozen food truck, et cetera, et cetera. So,
you asking Mr. Randall? Okay.
In regards to that.
Please state your name and address for the record.
Yes. Mike Flickinger, 2929 Walker Avenue, Grand Rapids, Michigan, Director of Real Estate for Meyer. In regards to the idling of the trucks, specifically on the refrigerated truck, we can turn off the engine and run the refrigeration unit, which is what specifically was addressed in previous conversations. One of the reasons that we have the information regarding the idling of trucks between the hours of, not idling between the hours of 10 p.m. and 7 a.m., but allowing it during the daylight hours, was because a majority of the trucks that come during the daylight hours, again, are not the Meyer trucks, and most of them, 60% of them, are also not semi-trucks. So clearly what we were looking at here is a distinction between the difference between a semi-trailer and a what we refer to as a bread truck or some kind of other, like a UPS truck. Those are not necessarily in our control, and we did not want to get hung up on those being trucks that were idling. The other thing is when you look at the reality of an idling truck during the daylight hours compared to the noise that will come from the two major roads that are going past the site, certainly the volume of that compared to, you know, the other ambient noise in the area is not going to be noticed from a truck that's idling. Again, we have no issue with turning off the Meyer trucks, the semi-trailers that come in during the daylight. Obviously, we've already agreed to that in the overnight hours. So.
Okay. Alderman Solomon, you have the floor.
Yes. I would like to approve this document from Attorney Randall, except at the last, I think it's the last page. Item number six with regards to the $20,000, I do believe that still needs to be negotiated further, because I don't believe that we can do that for $20,000, considering you have to, I do believe, your state credits that you're going to have to spend are $40,000 an acre. So I do believe that that needs to be a little bit higher for us to, like a lot higher for us to do it on our own. The other thing I would like to do is per the city attorney, page 14 of the document.
Let me, Alderman, because we have a main motion on the table right now. Are you asking for an amendment to that?
Correct.
Motion? Okay.
And I would like to add in for the city attorney item 11, which is completely crossed off, and change that item 11 to item number 10.
Is there a second to the
city attorney wanted that?
Is there
second?
It's been moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, ayes have it. Motion carries on the main motion. Alderman Olson and Alderman Wilhelm.
Further, Mr. Mayor, a friendly amendment. Applicant will negotiate with the Department of Transportation with all due diligence and effort to secure a right in and a right out turn lane access to Highway 100.
Is there a second?
Second.
To move and seconded. Any further discussion on the amendment to the main motion? Seeing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, six ayes, no noes. Ayes have it. Motion carries. Now on the main motion, Alderman.
Mr. Mayor, on the previous one, it's clear that if they're unable to secure that, it does not qualify. It's not, approval is not contingent. This document is not contingent upon approval of the right out. That's my suggestion.
That's a good reason.
So if they don't get it, go on.
If they don't get it, it's too bad, but...
Go on.
You want them to make good faith effort.
That's true. Okay. Now the sensitive one, applicants shall provide the city's demolition bond in the form and terms provided by the city attorney to be in effect for a period of 10 years post-ownership in the amount sufficient to cover demolition of the structures and return of fallow land should the operations of the department and grocery store cease for a period of not longer than a year.
Is there
subject,
a second?
Yes. The terms of this agreement are subject to negotiations with and satisfactory negotiations with the city attorney, and these terms are guidelines.
And that's your motion on the amendment?
That is.
Okay, is there a second to that?
Second.
All right, on the amendment, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, six ayes, no noes, ayes have it. Motion carries on the main motion. Alderman Olson?
I'm going to have a personal conversation with the Meyer folks regarding hours of operation.
Okay. Alderman Wilhelm?
I have a question for staff regarding their statement in the condition of the landscape plan shall be revised to provide additional information to confirm about existing vegetation eligible for credit. What I saw was the areas in the area that they were required to be protected are being counted as trees on the site, and they contain cottonwood, which is on our invasive species list, and green ash, which, you know, we all know are headed for the emerald ash borer, so we're counting trees in a landscape plan, and we're going to end up with pretty sparse landscaping on this area if we apply the standards that they're asking for. Is that the intent of the council? I guess I would like to know what plan staff saw.
Mr. Deedle?
I believe that the applicant is not counting dead, diseased, dying, or invasive species. They are counting.
And they're counting things in the areas that are already required to be protected, which would be there anyway. So we're not getting additional landscaping. And not 100% cottonwood is in the subconscious weed section of the ordinance, so it is unnoxious weed to us. And so that's also being counted as part of the plan.
And if that's the case, then I would envision that they would revise that portion and not count anything that was subnoxious. That was what they told us. That's the condition that staff was basing their decision to say that landscaping is fine.
I bring this to the attention of the council because I'm not sure if they understand what type of landscaping we're going to end up with if they're going to take an area that's behind and already required under the ordinance to protect and count those as landscaping trees for the other part of the area. I don't know what it's going to look like as a finished product because we don't have a finished landscape plan for me to look at and review, which is another problem. And I feel really sorry for the people in the audience that have to sit here and go through us nitpicking. This is what happens when you drop something in your lap the night of the meeting.
Alderman, do you have an amendment to the main motion?
I'd like to amend the PDD to require them to amend their landscaping plan to follow the landscaping requirements of the ordinance without counting the trees that are already required to be protected.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
Under discussion?
Your Honor.
Oh. Alderman Wilhelm, would you please repeat your motion?
And then the landscaping plan to remove the trees that are counted in the area of already to be protected and to provide a landscaping plan that's consistent with the landscaping in the
All right, and seconded by Alderman Schmidt, correct?
Yes.
Under discussion, Alderman Taylor and Alderman Olson.
Thank you, Your Honor. I just heard Alderman Wilhelm says that she doesn't know if we know what we're talking about, or we understand what's in the landscaping plan. I don't have it in front of me, but I'm just guessing that they want their property to look pretty nice. So I think they're probably going to do a pretty good job at the landscaping, that this is not necessary. But if you want to throw this in, just keep them coming, and then we'll see what happens if this project goes underway.
Okay, Alderman Wilhelm.
Well, I did look at the previous landscape plan and all that, and I have a sort of an understanding. I'm not doing the just guessing part of it. I'm basing it on what I read previously and the fact that staff's report says that it needs to be revised. So I'm basing it on facts. I'm not basing it on guessing.
Alderman Olson?
I know exactly where Alderman Wilhelm wants to go with this. The suggestion is that the applicant has wetlands that have trees in it, then they're counting as landscaping. It should not be counted as landscaping or protected because they're already protected as wetlands. My issue is I don't know that anybody, Alderman Wilhelm, anybody knows what to do with the motion. And I wonder if we can restate it somehow.
City attorney, would you like to help out?
Love to, sir. Unfortunately, really. I have a question for Mr. Dito. Since I don't work with landscaping plans, I am aware that natural resources can't be double counted, i.e. count trees when they're already in a wetland. I don't know that they necessarily don't get counted for landscaping plans, because I'm picturing an 80% wooded lot for a single family house. Does it need more landscaping? So maybe Mr. Deal should answer that.
Steele?
I didn't look at it myself, but staff informs me that they believe you can count the landscaping that's already, the vegetation that's already protected towards the landscaping, because the landscaping is separate from the natural resource protection standards. So they say that can be done. I would note that if you don't count that landscaping, they may not have enough room on site for all the additional landscaping.
Go ahead. I think what I don't know is this the 27th amendment to the motion. The I think what was asked of the city attorney, which has now gone through the city manager to Myers, is to streamline the amended motion by Alderman Wilhelm. That was all that I believe Alderman Olson requested. So I still think it's. Can you streamline it, or is it a loss?
My concern is that it would require compliance with a provision of the code that does not exist.
Right.
And if the condition passes, the city attorney will get the code at some point, and it won't say that, but the common council passed a motion that that's what it says, and there's no good answer to that.
Okay. On the amendment, Alderman Wilhelm.
Well, my thought behind was we have United Financial who asked for landscaping buffer on their property, and if they're going to be counting trees because they can't fit them on their property, there's a developer over there who would love to have some extra over there, and it would provide a benefit, a cost benefit, and for their development. And we're just kind of overlooking that aspect of this. That is what the neighbors have been asking for. It helps provide a screening, and they could put those over there. And Mr. Deal, I read that section of the ordinance, and I wish I had it in front of me. Do you know what the number? Because we could look it up, and then you could make a determination. But when I read it, I didn't think it said outside of buffer yards, is how it said. Any landscaping outside of buffer yards.
So, any landscaping out of the footprint of buildings.
No, it says something about buffer yards.
How many landscaping do we have?
Are you going to stay with your amended motion?
Well, how about if I amend the motion to...
Do you want to rescind your motion and make another amendment? Can you rescind the second? Okay. Do you want to make another amended motion?
I'll make a motion for the landscape trees that are being counted in the already protected resource areas to be negotiated for planting for a buffer on the adjacent property known and owned by United Financial.
Is there a second to that? Is there a second to the amendment? If not, the amendment fails for lack of second. On the main motion, any further discussion on the main motion? Seeing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? I'm going to request a roll call. Madam Clerk, please take the roll.
Alderman Nelson.
Aye.
Alderman Sellers.
Aye.
Alderman Wilhelm.
Aye.
Alderman Gilbert.
Aye.
Alderman Schmidt.
Aye.
Alderman Skarinski.
Aye.
Six ayes, no noes. Ayes have it. Motion carries. Do we have any further business on this particular issue?
14.
All right. Let me just get to it. Is there a motion to adopt a resolution conditionally approving the one-lot certified survey map being part of the southeast one quarter of Section 17, Township 5, North Range 21 East, and that part of west one-half to southeast one quarter of Section 17, Township 5, North Range 21 East, and being all that part of the south one-half of the east one-half to southeast one quarter of Section 17, Township 5 North, Range 21 East, in the City of Franklin, County of Milwaukee, State of Wisconsin. Legend Creek LLC owner Paul Baraxis, registered agent through David W. Behrens, principal of Greenberg Farrow Architecture, Inc., eastern corner of West Loomis Road and West St. Martin's Road, South 100. Is there a motion? Is there a second?
Second.
Been moved and seconded. Under discussion, Alderman Wilhelm.
Number 7 of the CSM document says the applicant shall obtain all required approvals from the Wisconsin Department of Transportation prior to issuing a building permit. It doesn't say anything about having the permits from the DNR, the Army Corps, or the sewer PAC recommendation, which could affect the CSM because the easements that have to be recorded on here under number 4, which says each and any easement shall be shown on the CSM, are going to be contingent upon what they can get approved by the other.
Would you like to make a friendly amendment, motion to the main motion?
Make an amendment that says that number 4 should be taken out and that each easement shown on the CSM shall be subject to the grant written or the easement instruction. In the form of everything pretty much, I guess, that's there, except for it's contingent upon the changes to the other agencies.
Everybody understand? Go ahead.
I guess you can probably leave what's there, except make those easements contingent upon the approvals from the other agencies.
First, I have to get a motion that's going to be seconded.
Amend item 4. By adding on the end of it that is contingent upon approvals from the appropriate permitting agencies.
Is there a second to the amendment?
I'll second.
And then on item 7.
Wait, on the motion that made and seconded, under discussion?
Sure.
Under discussion, Alderman Wilson.
I believe it would be clearer if you just added the DNR.
You're asking to her to rescind the motion and make a different amendment?
If Alderman Willem so chooses, that would be my suggestion.
Well, it doesn't cover each easement shown on the map, though. That's the problem. Now, I agree, that's what I wanted to do with number 7, was to add those. But then number 4 says they should be shown on there, so they need to be contingent upon what happens on item 7. So maybe the city attorney can suggest how to fix that.
All right. On the amendment, it's been seconded by Alderman Schmidt on the amendment. All those in favor of the amendment, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed?
Aye.
Aye.
No. Noes have it. Motion is denied on the main motion.
What was the rule call?
There was no request for roll call. The chair heard more no's than he heard ayes. You can contest the chair if you'd like. Go for a roll call. Madam Clerk, why don't you take the roll?
Alderman Skarinski.
You're on the amendment.
Okay,
if you support,
I just want to be sure here because
yeah, if you support the amendment, you would vote aye. If you do not support the amendment, you would vote no.
Good, because that's what I said the first time, no. I do not support you.
Alderman Schmidt?
Aye.
Alderman Taylor?
Aye. I also against
it. Alderman Wilhelm?
Aye.
Alderman Salomon?
No.
Alderman Olson?
Aye.
Three ayes, three noes. The motion fails for lack of majority on the main motion. Any further discussion?
Mayor, I'm...
Alderman Wilhelm?
I would ask that the city attorney correct the issues between 4 and 7 and offer up a motion that would serve
well,
to do so.
We're on the main motion. Do you have a friendly amendment to the main motion?
Yes. Ask the city attorney to correct the issues with 7 and 4 so they can work together with us right now.
Requesting that the city attorney fashion a motion as an amendment. Is that correct?
Because with item 7, adding in the permits for the DOT and the
city attorney?
And then making 4 fit in.
City attorney? Will you do that?
Item 7, I'm supposed to read the applicant shall obtain all required approvals and permits from the Wisconsin Department of Transportation, comma, the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources, and the United States Army Corps of Engineers prior to the issuance of a building permit, period. Conservation easements required under the Unified Development Ordinance as may result from any this or any other city approval for the subject property or by way of a Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources grant of permit shall also be shown and provided as contemplated under condition number 4 above.
Is that your motion, Alderman?
Yes.
Is there a second?
Second.
Any further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Ayes have it. Motion carries on the main motion with its amendments. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? 6 ayes, no noes, ayes have it. Motion carries. With the amendments. Who's going to be reading these amendments tomorrow to clarify? Mr. Deal and the city clerk. Okay. Well, you said you didn't have okay. Anything else? Do we have anything else on this important matter?
No, sir.
On 13, on item 13, there was, what was the motion on item 13?
From the beginning.
So I'll make sure we covered all of that.
All right. And I'm going to read it, including the amendments. Correct?
Yeah.
Alderman Taylor, seconded by Alderman Skransky, moved to adopt ordinance to create section 15-3.0441 of the Franklin Unified Development Ordinance establishing Plan Development District Number 36, Meyer Grocery and Department Store Development, and to rezone property from B3 Community Business District, Plan Development District Number 31, Forest Hill Highlands United Financial Group, Inc., and FW Floodway District to Plan Development District Number 36, and FW Floodway District at the eastern corner of West Williams Road and West St. Martin's Road, State Highway 100, with the following amendments. That item 5 be amended.
I've never seen you make a mistake, ever.
Amendments,
but
I
mean,
I have them
all.
Okay,
and
item 5.
I was just thinking, this is how they do it in China.
That item 5 be amended to include the word grading permit in place of building permit and add sewer pack as an entity, and also to include that existing buildings be removed.
Demolition.
Existing buildings on the property be removed. In addition, the amendment that PDD changes should be in consultation with the aldermanic district representative, and that changes from Attorney Randall, with the exception of item 6 and the addition of the deleted item number 11, which is now to be renumbered item 10. And that the applicant will negotiate with the Wisconsin Department of Transportation with all due diligence and good faith effort for a right-in and right-out turn access to Highway 100, and that the applicant obtain a demolition bond for a period of 10 years post-ownership, subject to negotiations with the city attorney intended as a guide.
That's the way I remember it. Yeah, I just wanted to make sure. I know everyone is just. Everyone is just dying to hear more about this, but I would be remiss as the mayor to not include some things. I asked Mr. Deedle to put together some things that maybe the public has not heard as to what the developer has agreed to. One was in the initial meeting with Meyer, their first proposed to build a gas station. They agreed at the initial meeting with Mayor and Alderman Olson to remove that gas station from the property. Next item was the location of the ingress-egress on Loomis Road. We requested, and it was changed 3 times to accommodate the Common Council and the City of Franklin. I said that I would like this to be the best-looking Meyer's store that they have. From the initial building and the shape of it to the building and the architecture that we currently have in front of us, there has been a great improvement. Also asked them to come up to and put in a stormwater pond and asked that they split it into 2 parts. They complied with that. City asked the sidewalk was located on the north side of Putes Road. Apparently, they have agreed to that. He said the intersection of Putes Road and Highway 100 was revised, and we requested that they work with us to get the DOT to see things more in line with what the neighbors wanted and to address many of their concerns. They did attend at least 2 DOT meetings. Retaining wall by the truck dock was revised to be 2 shorter walls with a terrace in between rather than 1 tall wall. Additional pedestrian amenities were provided by the intersection of Highway 100 to Loomis and by the stormwater pond. Pursuant to comments from neighbors, truck deliveries were reduced to only once after 10 p.m. This is another condition that apparently, Mr. Deedle, tell me if I'm wrong, that Myers had agreed to with the Common Council and the Plan Commission, etc. We asked for additional landscaping to be proposed on the south side of Putes Road. They agreed to that. We asked for enhanced walls and landscaping proposed by the truck dock. That was agreed to. Hours of operation of the garden center were restricted. Pursuant to comments from the Plan Commission, a market analysis has been provided. Pursuant to preliminary comments from the DOT, the ingress-egress on Highway 100 was restricted to only a right-in. And the applicant also moved the building and parking lot a few feet to minimize the impact upon natural resources, revised the parking lot to address pedestrian landscaping, stormwater issues, added rain gardens and underground storage to its proposed stormwater management. And so far, that's what they have agreed to do with the city. Should also be noted that we just got an invitation. I'll share it with all the aldermen for Baptistas, the opening for Baptistas. As you might remember, the city, well, actually it was the CDA, came up with an additional $500,000 to persuade Baptistas to add an addition to their facilities. Yes, September 29th, so you should all put it on your calendars. This particular proposal does not have, it's not requesting any incentives. Incentives are being requested in other municipalities for the similar proposal. I guess I, for the benefit of the public, the 35,000 people in Franklin, this is a $15 million project. It's trying to be built on a very, very difficult location. And it is going to provide somewhere between 200 to 250 jobs. Now, I got an email today saying, well, one person that they really wouldn't be interested in that job because they have a master's degree and the jobs would be below them, I guess. Every time I go over to Target for a cup of coffee, I'm seeing the kids that go to college in Franklin at the cash registers serving the coffee and making some dollars to help them with their college education. We also have a couple seniors in this community, and I'm being facetious about that, 5,000 or 6,000, that maybe they're... Social Security payments aren't what they used to be. They might be looking for a nice job. And then we have a whole host of people in this city that have lost their jobs. And so when they get to the point of maybe running out on their credit cards, things like that, I guarantee you they would be very, very interested in these types of positions. So we heard a lot of what we would like to see, what Myers hasn't, and the viewpoint of the elected officials hasn't come forward with. But I wanted to share with you all of the things that Myers has come in agreement with. And a big one was taking out the gas station on the corner, because I don't know how much that cuts into the profits. Last piece, I spent a lot of time with staff of the city trying to streamline the process, the building process, to make Franklin a more business-friendly environment. Mayoral ad hoc development review process. Actually, it was Alderman Taylor came forward with a resolution on it. I think we made about 30-some recommendations that were put in place. And the reason we did that is because Franklin did not have a good name regarding new businesses coming to the city. We also have the goal of the city, which I've asked the Common Council repeatedly if they're in favor of that goal of 70-30. So far I've heard every time that they are, and that's to try and reach a commercial tax base, hopefully in the Franklin School District, of 30% commercial development. In the next few months, you're going to be getting some things in the mail, and it's going to be referendum questions. And they're going to be totaling maybe $50 million for school projects. I'm starting to put together the budget of the city, at least the budget I'm recommending. And with all the cuts from shared revenue, state aids, we're going to be looking for more revenue in this city. Last budget, I recommended that we lay off two individuals in the city. I think we're already looking at a $583,000 shortfall, which is nothing new. Shortfall meaning we still have about $4.5 million in our general fund. But this council supported and continued to support the concept of trying to get more commercial development in here and to streamline the process, and more importantly, to try and treat businesses in a more business-like manner. So I would really appreciate that if the council is meaningful and going to stay to those goals, that they tell me that that's what they want to do. If not, then maybe we should just return back to the ways that it was. We had a concept review. In fact, we moved the concept review from the Plan Commission to the Common Council so that businesses would be able to come in and get an opinion from the Common Council as to whether their project had a possibility, more than a 50% possibility of approval. That happened with this proposal. I don't know if the people of Franklin understand that. This proposal came, the first step was to this Common Council. So having said all that, I wanted to share with you that this developer has in fact made many steps in the direction of the city.
Before I call on Alderman Wilm, I want to thank you for telling the other side of the story, because I think that some of the discussion here tonight and in some of the emails I'm seeing and even some of the stuff that's maybe in flyers that are just totally bogus, that the facts weren't really straight. It was just one-sided against Ivy Meyer. And what you read in there, showing all the things that they did do to agree with us and Alderman Olson, and that has not been portrayed very well up to this point. Alderman Wilhelm.
Alderman Wilhelm.
I'd like to welcome Meyer to Franklin. And with that, I'd like to take 5 minutes.
There's a request to take a break for 5 minutes, or Alderman, maybe you could step away. And I think that's concluded the Meyer proposals or business for tonight. Anything else, Mr. Randall?
Just to clarify that the action was to approve with the various amendments all four of the pending applications, with the exception of G12, which has been tabled and will come back to the Common Council on the September 18th meeting.
Correct.
And was the Planned Development District 36 conditioned, and I hesitate to use the word conditioned or contingency once again, but conditioned on that natural resources special exception? I know the city attorney gave a brief opinion on that, and I just want to be clear procedurally, frankly, for my own protection and in counseling my client, of what we accomplished and what may still be lingering, so that we're all clear on that.
City attorney?
There was no proposed amendment to add a condition. Its approval be contingent upon the grant of a special exception to natural resource features of the Unified Development Ordinance, as I suggested when I left the table.
Did that answer your question?
I believe it did, but it does raise a concern then that whether particularly the Planned Development District 36 ordinance should have been conditioned, or in the city's publication efforts, is that delayed? I was looking for a savings clause, typically something, and I thought the city attorney mentioned it was in there. But again, we would like to make sure, given the long process that this has been and everyone's attention involved with this, that it be done correctly in the first instance, and that we don't have to come back asking for your consideration, even if it's another word I use oftentimes is a housekeeping item, but I want to make sure it is done properly. And it may just be the council, the city attorney, or maybe Mr. Dietl knows that ordinance on whether these two things can be independent of one another. Because we certainly would submit that we will not be pulling building permits without having the natural resources special exception, all permits in hand. And so to that extent, if they're all interrelated, then I think we're covered. But I just offer that up.
Yeah, let me say the way I see it. There's been a lot of amendments tonight, a lot of motions, very serious business. You can see, I mean, if anyone thinks, there was this flyer that went out that this is a done deal, I don't think so, hardly. The council has taken great steps to try and refine this to meet their constituents' needs. Understanding that the Myers also needs to have some of their needs met. I would think when this comes back the next time, I should say if it comes back the next time, that the Common Council take up whether they are serious about having Myers in the city of Franklin or not, so that if for no other reason, a good business like yours is not misled or taken down a path that is disingenuous. I would hope that by the time we have this all returns, that the council is ready to vote on the matter or, you know, just let you know that they really are not serious about having Meyer in the city. One of the two, because this has been going on since February.
Okay.
Alderman Scransby.
As far as I'm concerned, welcome to Franklin. We look forward to it. I'd like to see you here.
Okay. The city attorney?
Attorney Randall added the handwritten note copy of the ordinance draft, and there is a standard boilerplate, if you will, section 3, that all rules are granted by the town council are subject to the application. All applicable law, statutes, rules, codes, orders, and ordinances. I think by him underlining that and adding it to me, he's telling me that he understands the approval is conditional upon ultimately approval of a special exception by the federal council. And he's nodding his head, yes.
Is that correct, Mr. Rowan?
That is correct, and if that's the sense of the council, we can accept that.
All right. Thank you very much. Anything else? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Item E, organizational business. Item 1, boards, commissions, appointments. Alderman Kristen Wilhelm, Complete Streets Connectivity Committee. Is there a motion to approve? Is there a second?
Second.
Moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, Madam Clerk, please take the roll. No, item E. Six ayes, no noes, ayes have it. Motion carries. Item B, Michelle Leahy Reed. Is there a motion to approve?
So moved.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none. Madam Clerk, please take the roll.
Alderman Scransky.
Aye.
Alderman Schmidt.
Aye.
Alderman
Taylor. Aye.
Alderman Rohan.
Aye.
Alderman Solomon.
Aye.
Alderman Olson.
Aye.
Six ayes, no noes, ayes have it. Motion carries. James Malarkey, Community Development Authority. Is there a motion to approve? Yes. Alderman Olson. Yes.
So moved.
Second.
And moved and seconded. I understand. Thank you. Any further discussion? Seeing none, Madam Clerk, please take the roll.
Alderman Olson.
Aye.
Alderman Solomon.
Aye.
Alderman Taylor.
Aye.
Alderman Schmidt.
Aye.
Alderman
Scranton. Aye.
Six ayes, no noes, ayes have it. Motion carries. You have the name of Christine Iwinski in front of you. Is there a motion?
So moved.
Is there a second? It's been second. Seconded. For the record, Alderman Olson has stepped away from his seat. Did you have a, were you doing a count? Please take a roll.
Alderman Salmon.
Aye.
Alderman Taylor.
Aye.
Alderman Schmidt.
Aye.
Alderman
Scranton. Aye.
Six ayes, no noes, ayes have it. Motion carries. Five ayes, no noes. Ayes have it. Motion carries. I don't know why I'm getting a little punchy up here. Michael Sweeney.
So moved.
Thank you.
It's been moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, Madam Clerk, please take the roll.
Alderman Skransky.
Aye.
Alderman Schmidt.
Aye.
Alderman Taylor.
Aye.
Alderman Wilhelm.
Aye.
Alderman Salmers.
Aye.
Five ayes, no noes. Ayes have it. Motion carries. There's a request from Alderman Schmidt to move up, which item was it?
G16.
Franklin Historical Society is requested to store barn materials at the barn of Public Works Yard, 7979 West Bryant Road. Is there a motion?
Mm-hmm.
Is there a second? It's been seconded. Under discussion, Alderman Olson.
Why is this before us?
I asked that it come before the council so that you have an understanding of what's going to be there. The price of the materials is, could be as high as 100. The value is like $120,000. So that you're knowledgeable and you don't just pick up a newspaper and read it. Alderman Wilhelm.
This is a very sensitive comment I'm going to make, but is it appropriate for Alderman Schmidt as a member of that organization to be voting on it and moving it forward? I have no problem with this ethics. However, I've been up here before this council as a committee member, and I'm told I couldn't even speak on an item, let alone make a motion on it. So I just want fairness to be had.
City Attorney, do you see a potential conflict of interest with Alderman Schmidt?
What Alderman Wilhelm was referring to was prior local code. However, frankly, of course, of this issue, I didn't frankly think of the Historical Society as a private entity. It is a private entity. Alderman Schmidt is an officer director. This is an item of value to the Historical Society that might pose a 19.59 concerns or potential conflict.
In other words,
I'll make the motion.
Maybe you should recuse yourself from being involved. I'm going to make a statement. So just, I believe I'm a lifelong member of the Historical Society, as well as my wife. So, and Alderman Skransky.
No, I'm not a member, so I'll make the
but
motion to get
it's
it. So everybody don't get their underwear up in a tight
just
one here. It's ridiculous.
That was pretty good.
That's how I. That's why you don't have citizens belonging to organizations in this city to help it and support it. It's because of this kind of nonsense. This is ridiculous. That's how you get people to help.
You almost got called an Alderman. Alderman Olson and Mr. Woodruff.
Well, there are two items I have motions on. I do not believe they're mutually exclusive, so I'm curious as to what the motion is.
Mr. Roberto.
I did write them and intend them to be mutually exclusive. The first one that says motion to authorize simply says we're going to deal with the easy way that we'll just cooperate with them and we're going to be able to store it for 3 years. The second is if we want to be technical and legal about it, then direct me to write up a letter of understanding waiver and we'll allow them to do it and we'll put in limits and I've done similar things for other historical societies in previous communities. So there's an easy way or a longer, hard way. I'll do it whichever way the board wants.
I don't know with either one. I just want to know which one.
Number one.
Number one.
Okay, is there a motion to make?
I made it.
Number one. Will you accept it? Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Ayes have it. Motion carries.
Oops.
And one abstention. Motion carries.
Two people are staying in the same night.
F1, letters of retirement from Fire Chief Jim Martins.
Nine.
It's for informational purposes. It has been my experience, and I certainly hope it would be continue to be my experience, that people from time to time rescind their retirements. So, as we all know, Jim is a fantastic fire chief, and I would hope that he would stay longer, but it came as no surprise. He informed me of this maybe 6-7 months ago. Excuse me. Item 2, letter from Kevin Schaefer, Executive Director of Milwaukee Metropolitan Sewage District, Alderman Wilhelm.
Mayor, I believe there's some people in the audience for this item. I don't know if they want to speak now, but I thought I'd mention it's from the office.
Okay, I did talk to Peg Coring. She informed me of everything, as usual, and I support this. I would assume that everyone else would support it. I just wanted to make sure, like the barn issue, that the Common Council has the opportunity to weigh in on significant proposals. This is very significant. So, Alderman Olson.
The only thing that causes me concern is now we've isolated neighborhood on Drexel Avenue some more from access to Kristen's old neighborhood to the west, Market Avenue and all that, by having everything more parking. So we can't get from Drexel to, what is that, 49th Street?
Well, we can't do it. We can't do it because we have a park trail that all of itself is going to.
Well, anyway, so that's all this good planning, but let's go ahead and do this.
Okay.
Do you
have
a motion? I'll make the motion to send a letter of support for the St. Nikolai Church property to to the Milwaukee Metropolitan Sewage System.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, ayes have it. Motion carries. Please say hello to Kevin and tell him I'm getting the agenda out.
Sorry.
Thanks,
you.
Next meeting. Hopefully tonight. Let's see. Reports and recommendations, donations. Item 1A. Is there a motion?
I'll make a motion to accept the donation.
Is there a second?
Second.
So moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, ayes have it. Motion carries. Item B to the fire department, Gene Zuski. Is there a motion to accept?
Second.
It's moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, ayes have it. Motion carries. Item 2, Pleasant View Victory Creek Trail Development Project. Alderman Wolfram, anything?
Maybe Alderman Solomon would like to speak on this.
Alderman Solomon.
Parks, this part of the parks.
Okay, there is a council action sheet for the local parks. There's two separate grants here, one for $45,000 and one for $51,000. Now, those will need matching funds. And part of the matching funds can come from park impact fees because it's in the part of the trail is in the parks plan. That would be from the bridge.
Mr. Deedle, why don't you come up?
That would be from the bridge up to the parkland, which is the first dot on the bottom. The only thing that the city will have to match is from the parkland up to Marquette Avenue. The bottom half can all be handled with park impact fees. So there will be some, and we'll have to split those numbers so the council knows what will be needed to come from capital or from impact fee, or from impact fees, yes.
Yeah, two things. Often the impact fees are a percentage covered based upon what is considered new and what's considered to serve the existing.
Correct.
So to say impact fees can apply in a certain stretch means you may get a percentage of impact fees. And Calp asked me to remind you that the Capital Improvement Fund currently doesn't have any identified appropriation or any available fund balance. You had addressed that at the last meeting. So if approving it, anticipating that, recognize then that would mean ultimately you'll be looking to either borrow the money or do it through a transfer of funds.
Alderman Olson.
This will be no surprise to anybody. I'm going to vote no because we don't have the money for this.
Alderman Wilhelm.
Well, I'm just curious why we don't have a breakdown of the impact fees. I'm told by the residents over there that every one of them paid $6,000 per household for impact fees. Some of that went to police fire, but the majority was for parks. So if each one of those homes over there and homes over there paid that much, how can there not be enough to match that in impact fees? And why wouldn't we have addressed that up front? And why did we say when we put the application in and the council approved it that the funds would be there? How did that change from now on? I'm confused on that.
Neither the finance department or myself were involved in this to my knowledge. The only point I make about impact fees is that applies to all use of impact fees. The state statute says something that can apply, you go back to your study where you determine how much of what is in your development plan, in this case parks, is to serve your current city residents and how much is for the growth portion. So that's a consistent application of impact fees of this nature.
Well,
it's usually
it'll be the constituents that won't be happy, because it'll be another promise that the city made. They keep telling them they're going to get this, so I, you know.
I asked Mr. Beadle to come forward, because as well as I know that Alderman Solomon is well-versed in this, given that we are talking about an expenditure of city money, we should have the experts, the people or staff that we pay to give us our professional opinions on this. And you had given me that there's two proposals, one that needs impact fees and one that does not. So.
Correct.
And we have two motions in front of us. Hopefully we're not taking up both simultaneously. Are you saying that the council should select one or the other? I guess what I'm asking for is, what's your recommendation? And then to get to the impact fees, I think what Mr. Liberta said is the common council has not made any determination at all regarding the expenditure of impact fees. And we would also have to look at the comprehensive outdoor recreation plan that was put together by...
Excuse me, the resolution that
Rupert
went...
Rupert and Milky?
The resolution that went with the grant said that we already had supported. Now they're just making you formalize that. So we'd already said that earlier, and this was already viewed, and Cal was already part of that, and we had discussed this all before. So somehow we're now backing up. That is really baffling to me, but...
Well, the reason, again, that I'm asking the staff that we pay to give us their expert opinions is because we are talking about the expenditure of taxpayers' dollars. Mm-hmm. And while your constituents or my constituents paid $6,000 for their homes... when all of us and all of our constituents paid, that could go for a central park, mm-hmm. It could go... Go for a playground.
Could go for taking care of a huge safety issue that's been on the agenda for many, many years.
But we don't want to. First of all, it's 5 after 10, and I would hope we could speed this up a little bit. What is your recommendation, Mr. Beadle, regarding? I have two issues here.
Yes, we are recommending that the city recommend approval, but
approval
with some medication. Of preliminary approval of these grants. Preliminary approval of these grants.
Both grants?
Yes.
Okay.
Because there are those outstanding issues that impact fees may not cover the entire city match portion. And there is another grant out there that would pay for 100%, although the chances of getting that grant are not very good.
So you're recommending to the council that they go after both grants and that impact fees, as Alderman Wilhelm had said, be used for this purpose?
Preliminary. Understanding council gets the final say on the second
one. Mr. Liberta?
I in no way wanted to imply that we shouldn't do these because of those remaining financial issues. We have large fund balance. We have a capital improvement fund that anticipates small borrowings every 2 years, which we haven't done for a while. We have impact fees in the parks area that if we don't get spent in spend at least some of them in short order, we may have to return some. So I'm only saying that following up on your action where you said, yes, go get the grant, we support it, now you're preliminary accepting the grant, recognize there will be subsequent financial steps to clean up the other pieces, but given the processes we have in our budget, the borrowing practices that we've had, the fund balance we have, and the impact fee, those aren't things that can be addressed.
Okay. So what's your recommendation?
So motion to preliminarily accept those two state grants. And if you wish to go into details, it would be to determine exactly how much we covered by stewardship. And
I really have no desire to go into great detail.
So motion to preliminarily accept.
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Just got one.
Move the second out, Alderman Taylor.
Thank you, Your Honor. One quick question. So, right now, what's the city on the hook for?
50%, so approximately
$96,720.
Yes.
And some of this would be impact fees?
Yes. But we don't know exactly how much.
And then the rest would be in capital?
Okay. The most expensive part would be the bridge. That will be covered by
We've been working on this how long?
about 3 years.
And when's this money going to, you know, if we won't spend this impact fee money, if we, you know, I'd like to have some kind of report at some point. I think we all should, is when the hell this money's got to go back. All we know is that we've been collecting impact fees, and we've been told since I've been here that if we don't spend it, we've got to give it back. I think we're, it's about time we know what that dollar amount is and when that hard deadline is that it needs to be spent. And who is it going to go to? I mean, in detail, instead of these just throwing stuff up against the wall, really. I don't want to hear about it now. I really don't at all. That's it.
Alderman Olson?
Seems to me that acceptance is a binary condition. You either do or you don't. I don't know what the preliminary means, but I'm hoping on it.
Alderman Skronsky and Alderman Wilhelm.
Yeah, I've asked for this for many years, so we know where the expiring date on these funds are before we have to get rid of it. And I'll make a motion that the staff come back to the next meeting.
Committee of the Hall.
Do we have a
or, Committee of the Hall.
We have a motion on the floor.
It takes time. Two more years.
There's already a motion on the floor.
It's got to be this year.
On the trails?
Right.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to do.
I call the question.
The question's been called. Is there a second? Lack of second. Alderman Wilhelm.
Now, well, it makes some sense, definitely don't know.
Well, I think the clerk wanted to make a point, but I think it's important to note that not taking advantage of this now could mean thousands and thousands of dollars of loss for the city in the future, because that bridge, that tractor bridge, is deteriorating, and without addressing that now with this fund, if the Park Commission ever wants to get that trail over to Northwestern Mutual, and we don't do this now, there won't be any salvaging that bridge. Then you want to talk about permits, because now you're trying to cross a navigable creek. You'll need DNR permits for more footings. It'll be astronomical. It'll never happen. So now is the time if we don't do this now. And I did quite a bit of research on the other grant. The whole process has been completely changed. The Safe Routes to School has been cut by like 78% or something. And under MAP 21 transportation, the funding went from 182 million dedicated funding to no dedicated funding in the Safe Routes to School program.
I think there's a motion to approve. Yeah, clerk.
I just would like clarification. The motion was to preliminarily accept, but it never finished. So I need to know if it's for the $45,000 or the $51,720 or
both. All right. On the motion, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed?
No.
Madam Clerk, please take the roll.
No. Alderman.
What? You're back to me again? I'm always first.
Okay.
Yes or no?
Twice he was first last time. So. Alderman Skronsky.
I'll go with an aye on this one, but there's going to be a payback if something don't go right on this
aye.
One.
Alderman Schmidt.
Aye.
Alderman Taylor.
Aye.
Alderman Wilhelm.
Aye.
Alderman Solomon.
Aye.
Alderman Olson.
Aye.
Five ayes, one no. Ayes have it. Motion carries. Next one is a request from Mayor Taylor to reschedule special committee of the whole.
Second.
God, I was prepared with this whole one.
No, we are
all those
now.
In favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, ayes have it. Motion carries. I just want to make sure we don't have a date specific. Right?
We do have
the
19th. That's the date.
What I'm trying to do is I'm trying to get, who am I trying to get?
Thank you.
Rob Hankin to come here. So it may be the 19th.
Mr. Mayor, I changed my motion. I will make the motion with the date to be the call of the chair.
Thank you. Is there a second?
Second.
So I moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed, ayes have it. Motion carries. I should tell you that on this item, I will be out of town starting Friday. Come back in Monday. And then be out of town until the 16th. So, Alderman Taylor, come.
I will not be out of town. I will be right here.
You're smart. I can't.
That was, yeah.
All those things that you wanted to get done. That's it. All right. I think items 4, 5 could be tabled until the
second.
Okay. Move and second. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, I have it. Motion carries. Item 6, Mr. Liberta.
This is just to give authorization to continue with the contract.
We'll move to second. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, ayes have it. Motion carries. Item 7, review and possible revision of fund balance policy of the general fund. I would ask.
Move to approve.
Second.
I would like.
This is, I guess I have to move.
Your Honor?
I don't recall that this came or that there was a great deal of discussion with me regarding this issue. Maybe I'm wrong. We do have quite a few issues. But if I understand this correctly, this would move the policy to go from 25% to 30%
maximum.
My reservation in this is that we went from 15% in 1999 and moved it up to like 20%. Then we went to 25, but then on the charts, we didn't always make the 25%. I guess the other thing that gave me a little bit of pause, I can certainly understand trying to become a triple A moderated community, but when I went to Wauwatosa's site and I did a Google on this, there's not a whole lot of AAA bonded municipalities. In fact, yeah, there's 5 out of 1,851.
Moody's doesn't rate that many of them, so that would be a slight exaggeration.
I mean,
you're looking at 5 out of 150.
I applaud the ability the attempt to get us to be a AAA bond rating, but even in the write-up that I saw, it says that no matter what you do here, you may never be able to get to a AAA bond rating. That's in the write-up that Cal provided.
Correct.
So my question is who brought this forward and what was the thought behind it? And let me just say one more other thing. As you know, tomorrow I'll be getting together with you with budget. I have been doing a lot of research on budget right now. We have staffs that we have departments that have skeleton workforces. We have laid off employees in the past. Are we in essence just doing this for the sake of doing it, or is there a real intention on the part of the council to move monies towards that 30% and take money from existing departments that are barely surviving? Super.
Cal's the one who moved this forward, and his primary motivation was because it was one of the few things the city could still do that could potentially influence a bonding agency to move us up to the next step by having that higher cap. The reason, my reason for thinking this is a good idea is different from Cal's. Because importantly, note that the bottom limit does not move. This simply increases the range that our fund balance can sit at before our policy says, oh, you need to run out and do something. And I think the narrowness of the range before of just 5 points, you saw us 2 meetings ago, we were at 26%, and so in order in part to comply with the policy, we did apply some of it to a different fund, moving around. The simple matter of fact is, being between 20 and 30%, this doesn't force you to take any action. It actually gives you time to sit back and say, oh, look, we're starting to get higher in the fund balance. How do we want to react? To give yourself time to react. By having that narrower range, you limit your ability to plan and react in a more measured fashion. So I think having the top cap moved up is just good financial planning by giving you time to react in a more planned fashion. Not when you're at 24% 1 year, you have a good year, all of a sudden you're over your 25 cap, and you're supposed to do something to get below. This gives you time to say, hey, we've gone from 23 to 25, we're at 26 now, we need to be figuring out how we can move this around and keep within that zone.
But so, let me tell you my concern, because we do live in two different worlds. I'm a politician, I live in the political world. These figures that get tossed around, they become real out there. And all of a sudden you start hearing, oh, we're going below 30%. So we're going into a deficit. And yet you may have $5 or $6 million in the bank in a rainy day fund. So because we live in a political world, political decisions are made, and they may affect all of the existing departments in the city. If there was a real expectation that we truly could become a AAA bond-rated municipality, then I totally agree with you. But when I researched Wauwatosa and see that there's only five communities out there, and then read the provision in Cal's write-up that there's probably no chance at all of us doing that, why are we doing it?
Well, and my point there was, absent even a chance at a AAA rating, I believe there's benefit to doing it, to having that broader range in fund balance to allow us to react in a more measured fashion on what to do with fund balance that may accrue over time. I would be concerned with your departmental and operating concerns if the policy was considering moving the bottom limit. If it was moving that up, I think that would be potentially premature. Or moving that down, that would be looked at negatively. The fact that the bottom 20% is staying where it is, I think moving the top cap just lets us respond more.
I understand that's the way it's supposed to work, but that's not the way it has worked. And I'm raising flags here, and I'm raising flags primarily to departments, because it has been... A practice out there that when we start to slip below our current policy, that all of a sudden, well, we're going into a deficit, and yet we still have $4 or $5 million in the bank. But it becomes real. And, you know, you come in for a project, well, let's say Jack comes in for a project, we don't approve it because we're going below the 30%. Those become real decisions. And so I understand that this is a nice thing, but how real is this? From my research, it's like almost non-existent. This is more of a, it's sort of like grandstanding.
Alderman Olson and Alderman Salmon.
I listen to family, pretty intently, to your arguments, Mayor. I don't see it that way. I agree 100% with Mark. I think there's a huge advantage in this in moving the top end, because it just gives us time to make adjustments, and it does not require us to go out and spend whatever percentage we're at the top of that. This makes perfect sense to me. I don't see the politics, but I'm not the politician. Thanks.
This makes sense because if you look at the numbers over the last 12 years, five out of those 12 years, we were over 30%. And if you look at additional numbers over 25, three more years. So out of the 12 years, eight of them were over the maximum. And what we did was conscientiously take that money and spend it, because we didn't want to tax the taxpayers unnecessarily. So this moves that up to 30%, where you'd still have actionable dollars to move in five out of the 12 years. It makes perfectly good sense to me.
Alderman, it does until I have to bring a project forward or I'm confronted with laying somebody off because people are basing their decisions on a policy that's unrealistic.
Well, it could be 10%. Is that what you want to set it at? You lay nobody off.
Well, I think I...
You still need to have...
As long as everybody understands right. It's a goal.
It's a goal.
That's
a goal.
I'm trying to make
don't
a point.
Don't have to reach it. The lowest 20. Look.
Your Honor, thank you. John, wait for you to call on me. It's 10, almost 10:30. I got my 5 minutes. I'm out of here. I'm just going to say this. I agree with the mayor saying from the political aspect. I agree with Mark saying from the practical about how it, you know, it gives us more time. And it's one thing for setting the bottom limit, but we're now raising the top limit to a smart gap. So I agree with both. But the mayor makes a good point that some people look at it. You know, if we drop below that limit, that we're in trouble when we're not. But at the same time, you wonder when people look that really pay attention, saying, why do you have $4.5 million? You guys are flush with money. You have $4.5 million sitting there. Why are my taxes going up? Why aren't you? So some people look at the amount of money that you have in there. There's reasons we do. For solvency, to make sure that if something happens, we have something break or, you know, the roof gets blown off or whatever. You know. I'm getting tired. Let's get out of here. Go on.
Okay. Anyone else? Is there a motion of approval? I think there was.
Yes, sir. Right. Second.
Okay. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed, 6 ayes, no noes, ayes have it, motion carried. 5 ayes, no noes.
No,
6. 6 ayes, no noes, ayes have it, motion carried. Where are we?
Item.
Resolution authorized.
Move to approve.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying
aye.
Oh, wait, there's a
I just
discussion.
Know that there's some blanks on page 73. It's not our document, but... I gotta believe he's filed his mortgage. So somebody check it out. Thank you.
All right, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, ayes have it. Motion carries. Item 9, Storm Sewer.
Second.
Been moved and seconded for discussion. Seeing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, ayes have it.
That was 9, the Storm Sewer. I have a question on here. What is Mylar on 17, Mr. Evans? The grantor shall submit as built drawings of the installed systems on Mylar. You have to have it on Mylar?
Because it's erasable. You can change it.
It's easy. Mylar
right.
Okay. Where is the outfall going on this? Because
just the big lights just goes to the north.
Yeah, goes to the north on whose property?
On the owner's property.
On his property?
Yeah.
How far from his property line?
He owns both properties, so it's property lines in the future, but it's going right down the middle of his property.
It goes down the middle of his property, and the pipe comes out there? The outlet comes out at the end? Well, he doesn't own the property behind him. The property behind him was bought by the sewage district.
Well, the water always runs this direction. It's just to get flow through it, because it didn't want to.
Right, but now you're taking roadside ditch and salt, running it through a pipe and dumping it onto a conservancy area that doesn't belong to us, and you're dumping it onto somebody's property.
Well, I was running that direction.
Did you prove this with the property owner next door you're going to dump this on?
Yeah.
You talked with LMSD?
The property owner.
The MSD's property owner, not the one you're putting the pipe through, the outlet where the pipe's going to come.
Well, the property is going to discharge on this guy's property. It's not going to discharge on the other property. It will run on the other property like it does now, but it won't discharge on the other.
How many feet? Because the map shows it's going all the way to the end of the property line. How many feet from the end of the property line?
Well, the easement's going all the way down, but the pipe...
It's gonna, but there's a house, there's a garage right there. Is it gonna dump all that on that house? On that, you're gonna dump it all that, you're gonna output right on top of that garage.
Call the question.
I have the floor.
I believe the question, call the question takes precedence.
not they have, they're supposed to get called to have. You can't just like take someone right out of the middle. They're supposed to ask the mayor to get the attention of the floor. That's what you told me last time I tried to call the question in the middle. I said, you didn't have the floor. But now when I'm doing it, it's the other way around.
Well, the
you
question,
need to set some
the
policies.
Question's been, the question's been called. Seconded. The parliamentarian had to leave for a few months. He's back.
I read Robert's order after I got screwed the last time, and I know what he did
question.
Was not correct.
Alderman Wilhelm, you are out of order.
The city attorney is back.
Your Honor, can we continue with
the
business
question,
here?
Alderman Skronsky requested to call the question. It was seconded by Alderman Taylor. Alderman Wilhelm did have the floor. It's my understanding that
and they just
calling
shouted
the question
it out. Took
has precedence.
Can you just shout out and take it away without being called by the chair? Because I tried to do that once and I was reprimanded for it. No, you can't do that.
Well, I would agree with you that it's certainly getting ridiculous around here.
Hey, you got that right. The 18 amendments and one item?
Yeah.
Yep.
Oh, and I know what it says because I've read it right after.
Well, we'll hear from the parliamentarian. Maybe you're right. The chair can be wrong.
Looking at Robert's Rules of Order, per the table of rules relating to motions with regard to previous question, under the column, in order when another has the floor, it states no.
So she still has the floor. Okay. The chair stands corrected. You were correct, Alderman Wilhelm.
Thank you, I'm
good. You still have the floor. Go ahead.
Well, I was just concerned that we're dumping property onto a property owner causing a water problem and someone that doesn't know that's there. And, you know, I'd rather have somebody know about it now than later. And I guess I would like to call MSD and ask them, are they okay with us dumping it that close to their property without it being filthy or anything? Because now it's going to be road salt coming right on top of their property.
You know, you're asking these questions. It's 10:30. It's very clear that everyone in the room and some have expressed getting out of here sooner. You were given all these documents, or they were available to you on Friday. Why couldn't you pick up the phone and call Mr. Bennett instead of...
Mayor, yeah. I tried. I spent the entire weekend going through these documents and reading. He wasn't there on the weekend. I called the city attorney, and he didn't call me back right away. And then this issue wasn't... I had other questions. I was at, I called Joel. How many times did I call you, Joel? I called the city attorney on questions. I had questions. I couldn't get to all my questions. I'm sorry. I tried.
Well, you have a whole council up here that's sitting here. I think they're prepared to vote on it. And you're asking questions about this sewer that's not in your district. I believe it's in Alderman Skransky's.
Correct.
It is my right and to be able to sit up here.
Yeah, and it's my duty to move this meeting, these meetings along, and it gets to the point where there's questions on every single issue that could be answered before this meeting.
Well, next time I'll try to determine which ones you don't want me to ask at council meeting and which ones I'm supposed to try to rearrange my entire schedule in life for to ask questions.
I don't think it's too much to say that it's 10:30 at night. Everyone has expressed that they're a bit tired, and they like to move on with this. On top of this, this is an issue that is in another alderman's district.
And wouldn't even be here if you would have just let me ask the question. He showed me the map, and that would have been the end of it. But no, it had to turn into this because...
I don't know. It seems like every single issue, there's 1,000 questions that are coming that could be answered prior to the meeting.
Hey, I'm sorry. I read the packet. I get questions. At least I read the packet, unlike some of the others up here.
Oh, man.
All right.
It's very obvious.
All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed?
No.
Five ayes, one no.
Five
ayes, one no. Ayes have it. Motion carries.
Mayor, item number 10 could be held for another meeting. There's no real rush on it.
Try something great. So next meeting.
Thank you.
To move second to table item 10, seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, ayes have it. Motion carries. Any desire to go through items 11, 12, 13, and 14?
Can we do it again?
Item 15, resolution awarding contract to the low bidder. There's a motion to approve. Is there a second?
Second.
Then moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye. Alderman Solomon.
Contingent upon receiving the grant.
That is built into the motion.
Yes, okay. Thank you.
Okay. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed, ayes have it. Motion carries. You took up item 16. Item 17, City Hall elevator repair. Is there a motion to approve?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Then moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Alderman Olson.
Is this bid?
No. There are just two vendors who can do it. Otis has done most of our work, so in for speed, we did not bid it out separately.
All right. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, ayes have it. Motion carries. Item 18, proposal for Industrial Roofing Services, Inc. for roof system analysis and design, project document development, project administration for roof area 1 of the Franklin City Hall.
Well, if it's not leaking now, we're in good shape. So moved.
Is there a second? Been moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none? Watch your smile. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, ayes have it. Motion carries. Population estimate as of January 1st.
Motion to place on file.
It's motion to place on file. Is there a second? Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, ayes have it. Motion carries. Maybe the whole recommendations. Nothing for A, nothing for B. C, I believe, was taken care of by staying with the current ordinance. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
And recycling, handling, condominiums, I forgot what that was. Anything? Miscellaneous licenses. Alderman Solomon.
And Jelly, approval letter. New Class A for both of the entries, no action is required at this time. Millennium's Irish Pub and Grill, change of premise description, and that's approved. Gooderay approved, Hinckley approved, Martinez approved, Taralba approved, Whitehall approved.
Is there a
second?
It's been moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, ayes have it. Motion carries. Now have vouchers and payroll. List the vouchers, number 144056 through 144225. Is there a motion to approve?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Been moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, Madam Clerk, please take the roll.
Alderman Olson.
Aye.
Alderman Solomon.
Aye.
Alderman Wilcox.
Aye.
Alderman Taylor.
Aye.
Alderman Schmidt.
Aye.
Alderman Stransky.
Six ayes, no nos, ayes have it. Motion carries. There's payroll dated August 24, 2012, in the amount of $372,986.63. Is there a motion to approve?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Been moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, Madam Clerk, please take the roll.
Alderman Stransky.
Aye.
Alderman Schmidt.
Aye.
Alderman Taylor.
Aye.
Alderman Wilhelm. Aye. Alderman Solomon.
Aye.
Alderman Olson.
Sure.
Six ayes, no noes. Motion carries. A motion adjourned.
Almost.
All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, ayes have it. Motion carries. There, that was simple.
Yeah.